And only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, let me turn down my radio.
Cool echo, though.
Echo.
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 Oh, not bad. Oh, I'm sorry that I came on right after your depressed woman was on, your caller. Why was she crying?
She hasn't been able to find someone who's willing to admit that they agree with her, that this war is a ghastly disaster and a put-up job. At the moment, Brooke feels very alone and isolated, and she's trying to overcome her alienation. So,
I initially thought that maybe she was depressed because she couldn't guess the secret sound on the Don and Mike Show, when in fact it was probably her douchebag hitting the floor.
No, actually, what she heard was you, douchebag. What a brilliant guy.
How bad you want me to get, Jack? If I get any worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
Good afternoon. Your question, you're on with Professor Beverly. Your question, please.
Yes, I have to say that living in New York for... Let me turn this down. Hold on a second. I'm sorry.
Okay, fine. It's 43 minutes after the hour. We have another 7 minutes and then we're out of here. Are you back?
Yes, I'm a lifelong New York City resident. As far as being poor or feeling poor, I have to say that one thing that has made me feel poorer, probably since about last year sometime, is the fact that something has been ripped away from New York City, which I think should be brought back immediately, and that, of course, is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, come on. Okay, thank you very much, Professor Andrew, and I'd like to thank you. Including, by the way, our new callers. And that includes the Belcher. Very funny. Ha, 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 ha.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, how are you doing? Good morning to you, and how's everything?
I'm a little sad tonight, so I thought I'd put the radio on.
Oh, boy, and you got me. This is great. Are you feeling any better?
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better.
That's good. That's anything I can do for you.
Yeah, I'm a little sad. My friend Mike can't get a date, and I feel bad for him because he's a really nice guy.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he was at a Maxim party last week, and he tried to give one of the models a Roman helmet, and it didn't go over well.
I see. Well, thank you for calling. Listen. Whatever your friend is doing, make sure that he does it safely. Safely.
Cut the jibber-jab.
Get ready for some hot, hot fun. This Wednesday, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville, 1471 Rockville Pike. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, beautiful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, red-hot Rob, and John and Joe, your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
Please enter your password.
Just one moment, please.
Authorization received. Countdown sequence initiated.
All systems are functional.
The Don and Mike Show is on the air. Featuring the world's oldest phone screener, Joe Artinger.
You're ugly and your mama dresses you funny.
With team coverage news from newsman Buzz Burbank.
You ever suck some marijuana?
And Buzz Burbank.
I used to suck
what?
Oh, everybody's people-loving producer, Rob Zewak.
You rap-ass and Nazi.
With your host, Mike O'Mara.
Don't do anything to my face. Honestly, I'm telling you the honest truth.
And your team leader, Don Geronimo. You can call Don and Mike toll free at 1-877-365-3636.
Hey, kids, how would you like to hear this?
It's the place where DVs and Sacramentonians alike move to Whoreville. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, I found that hard to hear some of that.
That was done by a loyal listener. Not professionally done.
A little muddy in the middle, and I didn't get some of the drop-ins, but that's just me.
I bet you like it muddy in the middle. Thank you, Jason McCollum.
The Don and Mike Show.
He sent that to us.
Hello!
I How you doing, Jack?
As bad you want me to get, Jack. If I get it worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
Tell the others.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
Let's start today. That is Johnson.
Hello, my love.
Johnson office. Barry Letter.
I was Robert the Mailman.
Wow.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
Hello.
Hello.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
Okay. Hi, Donna Mike. We appreciate it.
Oh, look out! Look out!
Thinking you might want to have sex with me? I make it feel really good for you, hon. Thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Oh, who knows? You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's
Don and Mike.
Thank you, Big Ed. And as you can tell by the smell, this is the Don and Mike show.
And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Thursday, 1012, on set at October 12th, 2006. And like the guy gave you, here's the phone number from anywhere in North America, including Canada, 877-365-3636.
I'll just be your secret lover.
You can hear us on your internet computer. Hey, all you internet predators.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
Yeah, that's right. You can hear us on the computer. Go to our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. Click on Listen Live. You can send us fan mail. Our webmeister, Yanni, is back there answering the mail.
Feeling a lot better today.
Email at DonandMikeWebsite.com. And the entire show available for you on iTunes. You can click on the front page of our website and it'll take you right there. Right, Chris?
I'll just be your secret lover.
Wow.
I know you will.
Yeah, he likes it.
Can you teach me anything?
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
Did you wrestle?
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Some of Chris Hansen's moves.
Wow.
Are you a prostitute?
Oh, dear. Now Dr. Phil's getting in on it.
Thinking you might want to have sex with me?
You can suck this.
Wow. I'll just be your secret lover.
Mind your own effing business. Leave me the F alone. I hate you. F you. Shut the F up.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
You effing C-word.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
If you don't take another drink today, you're going to be drunk for 6 months.
All right.
You're
getting kind of
are drunk at a tissue level.
Getting kind of a picture of television, aren't we?
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Cut the jibba jabba.
What's okay on TV today?
Amen.
What do you mean? Well, you know, Chris Hansen, like Dr. Phil, gives and gives.
He does.
And gives.
He really does.
He just will not stop giving. Okay.
They both got two totally unique ways of speaking, which I find fascinating.
Chris Hansen has all the positions and moves, though.
But freaking moves.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
You freaking
bad. I let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
Yeah.
On top of me.
I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Phil McGraw.
That's Phil McGraw.
Phil McCracken.
Hello, Don and the Mike Show. Hello there. Hello.
All right, speaking into the telephone?
That's just somebody either hanging up or the phones have to be reset.
Either
way, give me a moment. And
I'm nervous to come on the show.
Oh, God, so much to get to today.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Crank call.
Let me just start by saying something. I think maybe a lot of people feel this way. No disrespect at all to Orientals, as Bill Parcells would say.
Very nice of you to say that.
But to the family of the Yankee that was in the plane crash. I don't know who went to ESPN and said to them, you're a news channel. Really, the story happened, as is outlined on our show yesterday, about this time yesterday. You know, everybody knows this now, and there has been
the already predicted feeding frenzy on this guy.
Yeah.
But I wanna particularly point out ESPN.
Okay.
That last night I got home and I went to look at my TiVo to see my PTI
right.
with Tony and Mike, and it wasn't on. It had been preempted for the breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to see my NFL Live that had been TiVo'd, and it also had the breaking news. So then I just turned on regular ESPN, like at 8:30 last night. They're still on.
Yeah.
Now, there's nothing new.
Yeah.
They're talking to people on the telephone. They're sitting around like it's some kind of real newscast. And I finally got disgusted with it and said, screw it. I got up this morning, and of course, because I'm a creature of habit, one of the channels I go to, ESPN. I like seeing the SportsCenter replay.
Same stuff?
No, different stuff. In my opinion, worse stuff to be replaying every hour.
Wow.
What they're doing is they're recapping the entire goddamn thing over and over. And now they've gotten from Comcast, because you see their logo on the screen, a videotape of this guy when he was out on a flight recently, flying around Philadelphia. And if that's not creepy and oogie and in bad taste, and the thought that ESPN runs this thing into the goddamn ground, no pun intended, yesterday and all last night, and then they got the SportsCenter show that just repeats every hour. Any guy knows this, that pretty much from 6 a.m. till noon, you can watch SportsCenter like at 10 minutes here or 10 minutes there, 10 minutes there.
Get all the information you need.
And after a while, you seem to know, if you've had the TV on, you walk around the room, you go, I saw this part already. You know that at 10 after the hour, they're going to have a thing about whatever team you like. Well, I figured out that at 35 minutes after the hour, every hour today for 10 minutes, I'm going to be able to watch footage of this guy flying his plane.
Right. Because a Yankee player happened to be in the plane, and that's what makes this, the hybrid story where it goes into the ESPN realm because it's a player.
But here's the other thing that I just have to say. I'm not a baseball fan.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was on the Yankees for 3 months.
He came over in the Bobby Abreu deal from the Philadelphia Phillies. He was kind of it wasn't really a throw-in because it was a significant pitcher, but he came in. He came to the Yankees with the big star, Bobby Abreu, they got.
And he's probably would have gone to another team after this year, right?
I would think so. I mean, I don't think that he was a real driving force in the Yankees. He was there, first of all, a very brief amount of time, and he wasn't one of their superstar pitchers.
Here's the point that maybe is going to be an unpopular point, but screw it. Let's say that another major leaguer from another team had flown a building into...
Had flown a plane into a building?
Flown a plane into a building in San Francisco, in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Unless that player was Barry Bonds,
mm-hmm.
it would have been a story that made the news, and people would have thought, this might be a 9/11 thing.
Right. Yeah.
But it wouldn't be replayed over and over and over again, and we wouldn't have this pounded into our heads.
Right.
And
do you think it's a New York thing? Is that the reason?
Yeah, and I don't blame the people of New York. I blame the media, because they're going to people and saying,
well, that's because that's where the media is.
What did you think? Well, I thought it was 9/11 again yesterday. I thought it was 9/11 again yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was a beloved Yankee. Trust me, if he was a guy batting for the Milwaukee Brewers,
right?
You know, and this happened in any other major city in America.
Yeah, you have to combine both. I agree with you. If it was another team and it happened in another city, the fact that it was a Yankee and it happened in New York, that's why that it got the play that it did.
I think so. Yeah.
What did Rob write? What did Rob?
You're funny, Paul. They traded him to the Angels.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that's nice.
That's kind of sweet, Rob. Yeah, that's actually kind of sweet.
And the other thing...
There seemed to be a story that was behind this that really was overlooked, in my opinion, with all the... I don't want to call it hype, but it was hype. At a certain point, it became a hype story. Was the fact that you can take a plane off from Teterboro Airport, which is right next to Manhattan, and fly...
He told them.
Right next to the city... And you don't have to tell anybody.
Wow.
You can just fly. It's the most ridiculous. I was blown away by that.
They said to him, because I know I saw
you don't have to file a flight plan, right?
All you got
to
do is say, I'm going to fly down the East River.
I'm going to fly under a certain altitude. So, and they didn't even know he was on the plane. I am so amazed. And you know, really, you got this. Wouldn't you say in the pecking order of the fact that he's a Yankee, the fact that people reminded people of 9/11, the emergency response, wasn't this story like sixth or seventh down on the list of things that they would get to. And this, to me, should be at the top of the gap.
What the hell are they letting any plane fly around Manhattan for?
For
God's sake.
If you're a rich guy and you got a plane or you got a helicopter,
You don't have to be a rich guy. You could be a guy that wants to take a plane out and rent a plane for an hour and go up with an instructor, and you can fly down the Hudson River, up the East River.
It just blows me away.
And the other thing.
Yeah, but don't bring any. But you can't bring your hair gel into the airport.
I wanted to jump through the TV and choke every person last night that said, this puts it all in perspective.
What?
Huh?
Yeah. Puts what in perspective?
Exactly.
Yeah.
When they talk about this.
What does it put in perspective?
They love saying that on ESPN, as if they focus on sports all the time.
It puts one thing in perspective for me. It does. It makes me realize that all the stories I'm hearing about the fact that we are not prepared with Homeland Security in this country,
this would be a
absolutely 1,000% true.
Well, all I know is that if it ever happens, don't let Steve Levy be on TV. If it ever happens, please. Awful. Really, the guy's very decent as a sports center anchor. He's okay. I didn't even mind his toupee. But for God's sake, he thought he was Walter Cronkite last night.
Well, they all, probably some of those guys in a way, aspire to that. You know, they got to sit there and give scores every day, and they probably get a little bored.
And
they all want to be the anchor guy.
I think it's news. You know, it's news for you if T.O. tries to off himself.
Right.
You know, and then it turns out to be a mistake. That's news. Mm-hmm. I mean, now, if T.O. flies his plane into a building, now I'm watching. Now
so
I'm
what
saying,
you're saying, your point, if I'm getting it, is leave it to the news stations, leave it to CNN, to Fox News.
Let them repeat it over
and not,
over.
And sports is sports. You know, you give your obit of that, and then you move on.
Yeah, because, and again, I don't mean any offense to this guy, or certainly his family, because I know what it's like to go through losing a loved one.
Sure.
But to my knowledge, he was not a sports figure that everybody would immediately know who would get this kind of freaking coverage, where still it's like, you know, they're showing this picture like he's a fallen war hero, where they're going to black, and they're showing, you know, 1950-something to 2006, and it's like, you know, hold on, there are cops out there being killed every day.
It was a little confused. I thought the coverage was a little confused.
We got guys in Iraq being blown to bits every day. I'm sorry that this happened. I'm sorry that he was a beloved pinstripe Yankee. Yo!
There was one observation.
Yeah.
I will quote, you know, my number one source of news and my number one source of inspiration.
Fox News Channel.
No, Kelly Ripa on the Regis and Kelly show, who really said something that hit home with me. And it was the pictures, everybody saw them, of the burning building when you saw the water right after, you know, the plane had hit. It seemed like just minutes, where water was shooting out, and they had actually gotten firefighters up there. And it reminded me of when we were living up there and she brought up the point that there are still people not knowing what the situation is. They don't know if this is not a terrorist thing at the point, but they'll still charge into those buildings.
That's what they do.
Run up 40 flights of stairs and start putting, water on this fire. And that was the best observation of the whole thing that I heard. That was actually terrific.
Better than Matt Lauer standing in the middle of the street?
No, I didn't like Matt Lauer. But I didn't think Regis and Kelly needed a reporter either. And, you know, they got a reporter. Did you see that?
Of course they did, because it's New York.
Yeah, it's a New York thing.
It's a New York thing. And, of course,
sorry it disrupted Regis' trip to see Barbara Streisand.
The traffic into the tunnel was 1 hour and 40 minutes.
We had to go. We had to pick the right steakhouse up near the garden, near Madison Square Garden. You know, he's funny. It's the great old style of talking about, you know, hobnobbing with the stars. I mean, it's been.
But he's got to work a Yankee plane crash into it.
Yeah.
So he starts off the show this morning by saying
very
how sad
solemn
he is and holding up the paper and a Yankee fan for life. And then it's right away. Well, it inconvenienced Regis because he couldn't get through a tunnel to go to see Barbara Streisand last night. To sit next to Rosie O'Donnell.
And sitting back of Bill Clinton.
Thank you!
Jesus age Christ.
But you know why. It's New York. It's New York. That's why, and that's the epicenter of media. That's why you got that coverage on ESPN.
Now, even though this wasn't a security issue at all, did any of you see the fighter jets that were all over D.C. today? I had like 12 flyovers in formation over my house today.
And that was not related, I believe.
I hope not.
No, I'm sure you and I did like Ray Liotta and Goodfellas.
A little paranoid.
Sure that there's a helicopter following you everywhere?
Ever since I've given up the drugs, I've been a little nervous. But, I mean, really, startlingly loud, and four jets at a time. Weird.
Right. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
How'd the plane crash anyway? I didn't hear anything about it. I work for Pepsi, and I'm merchandising in a couple stores. And I see on the
who do you work for again, sir?
Huh?
Who do you work for?
Pepsi.
There you go. That's
Have
a Pepsi and a smile, I believe.
That's the, what is your question?
My question is,
How did it happen?
Yeah, how did it happen?
What
building was it anyway?
Where were you? Are you in management at Pepsi, or are you one of the guys that drives the truck?
Dude, I'm a merchandiser. I drive a Ford Focus.
Do you drive a Ford Focus with Pepsi on the side of it?
Oh yeah.
No doubt.
I think right now,
guys, listen. This is Steve. What's up?
Oh, you're really stupid. Right now, you sound so dumb and so ill-informed. If I was you, I'd say I work for Coca-Cola.
Yeah, because you're really not making Pepsi look real good right now.
Okay.
As I sip on my delightful raspberry Dasani water. Gar, I have a radio in it.
Don't drink Dasani. No, don't do it.
I'm drinking it right now, pal. And you know what? It's making me smarter listening to you.
So, Pepsi.
Please don't.
So, tell us now, your name was, did you want to say hi to a boss out there? Is that what you were saying?
No. I really did want to ask.
No. I heard you saying you had a shout out for somebody.
No. It's not a shout out.
What did he write? That Dasani is Coca-Cola?
No, it's Coca-Cola. So we're mentioning Dasani, and then Rob was pointing at this one, which we're not going to mention.
That's the one
we're going to be both drinking later out of the same bottle.
How did the freaking plane crash?
Oh, hold on a second. How out of the loop are you? This happened 24 hours ago. I was just on a diatribe about how it's been on a nonstop reel on every TV and radio station in the world. What rock did you just crawl out from under?
My house. I don't know. Dude, I don't watch the news. Look.
Why don't you watch the news?
I don't know. I'm 18. Why would I be watching the news?
All right. Here's you're 18? How did you get a high-ranking job at the Pepsi Bottling Company?
My girlfriend's father works there.
I like you more now.
Here's the deal. We got a tip that Saddam Hussein was in the building.
I think what ticks me off more. Okay. Seriously, forget about how the plane crashed.
Who is the current Secretary of Defense?
No, Saddam.
Don Rumsfeld.
They got a tip that Saddam Hussein was. We've got him. That would be what's his name?
Osama bin Laden.
Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan bin Laden.
Bin Laden. Right.
R2-D2.
It was him.
Oh my God!
That's Pepsi caffeination.
Do you just drive around in your Ford Focus with Pepsi on the side, smoking marijuana all day?
You're crazy, man.
Would you just answer yes or no, please?
Please, yes or no.
No, I don't do drugs.
You don't do drugs? Do you drink?
No, not anymore.
You don't drink? What do you mean, not anymore? You're 18.
I used to, not anymore.
What, when you were 14? He was a kid.
17.
Listen, come on, can I tell you?
I don't believe anything now that's coming out of his
mouth. Everybody.
Are you serious?
Everybody at Pepsi's high. Come on, everybody knows that. All the Pepsi companies, Taco Bell, all the KFC, all the subsidiaries, they're all high.
Well, those are owned by Yum Food.
Aquafina.
There it is. We just got this dude fired because, Listen, he was on methamphetamines and he came into work and he was going in store stocking like 2 liters of Pepsi into produce. He was putting like Sierra Mist into bananas.
Dude, if I may call you that, I believe if anybody from the Pepsi company is listening to you today, your job may be in future. You may have to find a bright future in sales elsewhere.
What was your name again?
Steve. What was your full name, Steve?
I'm not giving that up.
Steven?
Okay. Steven,
my name's not even Steven. I just use Steven.
Steven, may I ask a question? What dissuaded you from pursuing a higher education?
What do you mean?
Why
are you in college?
Good answer.
All right, what else can we help
you
with?
No need to help him, Buzz.
All right.
What can you tell us is, I tell you what, we'll tell you what happened in that awful plane crash if you tell us the latest taste sensation offered by Pepsi-Cola.
There you go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Do I tell you first?
Yes.
That would be the newly released Pepsi Jazz in black cherry and vanilla and strawberries and cream. Get your jazz today.
Would that be a hyper-caffeinated beverage?
No, it's a diet.
Which do you like better?
Mountain Dew.
Yeah. Big lot of Mountain Dew?
Oh, yeah. That's the stuff.
That's the good stuff.
You ready for the answer about the plane now?
If you want to, yeah.
Yeah, no one knows.
Oh, come on.
No one knows what caused the crash. Well,
why do you think everybody's talking about it for a whole day? No one knows. It's a mystery.
They said it could take months to figure out what happened, what caused the plane crash.
Right.
I saw people were talking about it just because Yankee pitcher died. I was mad because the first two words were Yankee pitcher died in plane crash. It wasn't, you know, forget about all the other people on the plane. It's just the Yankee pitcher that they care about.
All 20 of them, you mean?
24, Mike. 24 Mike.
It wasn't 20 died in plane crash, including Yankee pitcher. First thing they said was Yankee pitcher. That's ridiculous.
He was 50% of the people on the plane.
Well, now, Buzz,
that
now,
sounded weird, Buzz.
Now you've, now
he
you've,
was 50%
now,
of people.
Now you've tossed out a mathematical quiz.
Yeah, well, now let's see how our young Stephen handles this quiz. After Buzz's comment, will you please tell us how many people were on the plane?
20.
20.
Right.
20.
Excellent.
20.
Excellent.
Yeah, let's all make fun of the...
Hola, swilling friend. The 19 forgotten people.
So what's... What's up this afternoon? You're going to drop off a case of what, Diet Mountain Dew, maybe some Mountain Dew Red, maybe load up a couple of soda machines, and then what?
No, I just go to stores and put the back stock out on the shelf, and then I leave and go home and not watch.
So you're not even, you don't even do the real heavy lifting?
Yeah, I do the heavy lifting. No, you pull.
But he's not like the delivery guy, Rob, that brings in all the big cases in.
No, not the truck. I just go and like pull out pallets from like back stock and make displays in the grocery store.
All right, let's stop goofing around here, Steve.
Well, so you're using your artistic side.
What's
I mean, autistic side.
Steve, let's cut through the BS. Where do you want to end up in PepsiCo? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now?
Not a manager of McDonald's, that's what. I'm not a burger flipper. It's a lot better.
Well, we didn't say that. Why did you suddenly... Is this how you think it might go if things don't go well at Pepsi?
Where do you see yourself with PepsiCo in 5 years?
5 years?
I don't know.
Probably a route driver.
A route driver?
What's wrong with that? They make good money. They really do.
We're not disparaging that at all.
Steve, I was going to tell you, my friend, you're going the wrong way. Shoot for the moon.
Don Mike, what would you like me to think?
I would like you to think of the executive suite. Executive suite.
Okay.
You're junior.
In 5 years, I see myself the owner of Pepsi Cola.
You are a junior executive.
Owning Pepsi.
How does your girlfriend's father feel about you? And what does he do at PepsiCo?
Oh, he's one of the managers. He's cool.
He's cool?
He's cool.
He's a cool guy.
How does he like his daughter dating you?
Does he know what you do to his daughter?
I don't do anything to his daughter.
No, come on. You know what I mean. Baloney pony?
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't know?
No, he doesn't.
He thinks that you're not banging his daughter?
I can't say he does.
Is it possible that you made a good impression on him when you met him for the first time?
Yes.
How did that happen?
Hi, I'm Steve.
hey, dude.
What do you mean, how did it happen?
Hey, dude.
I just don't see you making a good impression on anybody.
He's made a good impression on us, Mike.
Yes, he has, actually.
He's a merchandiser who didn't know how a plane crashed.
Is she,
Yes.
Hey, listen, dude, hold on a second. Is she good? Tell me, is she good in bed?
Huh?
Is she good in bed?
Good in bed, what?
You heard him the first time and you heard him the second time.
Is she good in the sack?
Oh. I don't know.
Now, come on, you're my friend.
Are you guys getting off to me saying how my girlfriend is?
No, we're asking. We're just asking a question. Don might be.
Give it a number. I'm going somewhere with this. Between 1 and 10. Between 1 and 10, how good a lay is she?
8.
She's 8. All right, so you are banging her. So now that's out there.
I should have never mentioned that.
Yeah, Dad's not going to like that. You're coming on a national radio show.
I'm making all this up.
Talking about that. Yeah, I don't believe. Now I believe you telling the truth.
I see Steve flying the company planes.
So, Steve. Is Dad a hunter?
Is what a hunter?
Is her father a hunter?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, all right, good.
Actually, yeah.
It gets better.
Do you wear a condom?
I don't do that. I don't feel like getting her pregnant. I really don't. I'm dead serious.
You don't do what?
Really, I don't have sex that often.
Oh, really? That often? How often do you have
sex? I don't feel like getting her pregnant. I'd rather just forget about it and, like... instead of getting her pregnant and freaking ruining my life.
When you do have sex, do you use protection?
Yes, I do.
All right, that's okay. And that's the first round of applause you've gotten from the people.
And how is she with that? Is she okay with that?
Yeah.
She's fine with that? Does she take care of you in other ways?
Yeah.
Really? Is she good like that?
Do I like it?
Yeah. Is she good like that, taking care of you?
Oh, she's good like that.
Yeah, daddy's little girl?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Daddy's collection of guns?
Daddy's little Pepsi girl?
Do you think
daddy knows that...
Are you out of high school yet?
Yeah, I'm 18.
You're 18? I just was wondering...
Yes, I'm out of high school. No, you can't work for Pepsi and be in school. Cause
do you think that dad knows that she wraps her hands around your 2-liter bottle?
Wow, you're giving him credit.
You can't say that word.
You
can't say we're fine at that.
Edit me out. It's not that easy.
Edit me out.
Really? A lot of people jump just then.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, because the radio is delayed. Like when I
yeah, say, it's delayed,
yeah,
but it also
screws up the show.
It messes up our content.
It's sort of the user.
You moron.
It's okay. Like if somebody did that in your delivery of Pepsi.
Now,
you wouldn't like that very much.
I apologize.
I want you to think really, really carefully about the answer to this question that I'm going to ask you, okay? And I want you to answer it with thought, and I want you to answer it honestly. Are you ready?
Yeah.
How many times, and just give us a rough estimate, how many times a day do you wash your hands?
Do I wash my hands after every store? That's about 6 or 7.
6 or 7 times a day?
Yeah.
All right.
It's easier to work. You
how
know,
many
you know
with, how, hold on, how many with soap?
All of them.
All of them?
Yes.
So you consider your hands to be relatively germ-free?
No way they're germ-free. That's impossible.
No way. Are you worried about an E. coli breakout with your shipment of Pepsi?
No, it's easier to work with. I generally just wouldn't like...
What's easier? What do you mean it's easier to work with?
Well, when you get all the dead skin off, you know, with all the dead skin on it, it feels a little... It's weirder to work with the bottle.
You mean when you wash your hand, your skin sloughs off?
Do I scrub them off?
Sloughs.
So what? Your skin flakes off when you're grabbing the bottles of Pepsi.
Well, because there's so much dust in the back room of those stores, it just cakes on it. You know.
Once again, the people at Pepsi just have to be saying to themselves,
yeah. We're hitting home runs here.
Please stop the advertisement, please. So the bottles of Pepsi in the store
with your dead skin on them
are kicked with mold and mildew and rot and your dead skin on them.
Yep.
Do you clean all that crap off before you put them out on the shelf?
All right, I gotta go.
What was your best subject when you went to school?
What?
What was your best subject when you went to school?
English.
No,
it was not.
I gotta go.
Why do you have to go?
My boss is calling me.
You are lying.
Is your boss your girlfriend's daddy?
Yeah. I missed it. Thanks.
You what?
No, seriously
what?
I have to go home.
You have to go home.
No, I have to call him.
I have to call him.
Now that I can't hear, I have to call him. I have to go.
Do you know if there's any chance he'd be listening to the show?
You know, I bet you've been on the show, like 15 minutes?
Something like that, yeah.
I bet somebody called him to tell him the guy that's banging his wife, banging his daughter is on the radio.
I'm not banging his daughter.
No, you just told us you were. And you gave us a very, very nice description of what that involves.
And you,
leading up to safe sex and everything else.
And you said that she does everything.
Just listening, you guys are insane. You guys are awesome.
We are not insane. We are trying to help. We're trying to help the father of this woman figure out how to eliminate you from their lives.
In these 15 minutes that you've been talking,
and the first step is to fire you from PepsiCo.
I disagree.
I say promote him, Mike. Escalate it to the top floor.
Promote him to the front office.
Tomorrow morning, tell him the formula.
The Pepsi formula. Hey, Pally. I've fought bigger guys than
Beyond AM.
Oh, hold on a second. I got that somewhere here, Mike.
Forget it! I fought worse monsters than you for years in Hollywood. I know how to win the hard way.
Miss Crawford, we don't want any hard feelings.
You don't know what hard feelings are. I come out publicly against your product, and you'll see how much you sell.
Hold on.
Please, Miss Crawford. It's hardly necessary to make threats you surely don't mean.
Hold on, she's talking. This is from Mommy Dearest.
She's talking to the board of directors at Pepsi Cola.
Pepsi Cola, please listen. Listen and learn.
Don't f*** with me, fellas! This ain't my first time at the rodeo. You forget the press I delivered to Pepsi was my power. I can use it any way I want. It's a sword.
That's both ways.
Now he seems to be talking to someone in the background.
Hello?
Who's talking to you, Stephen?
No, I was listening to the radio.
No, you were talking to someone.
I swear to God, there's no one in the car with me.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Super Steve.
Well, Ben, I...
Who would I be talking to? What would I say? Hi, I'm on the radio. What would I say? No,
I would gather to say in most of your conversations, you don't have a lot to say.
That's you. There. No, you're figure out how to eliminate you from their lives.
You're about a minute and a half behind.
A minute and a half behind from what? Yeah, that's why I told you. It's delayed.
Well, no, but actually, your brain is about a minute behind, I would imagine.
Your brain
actually,
has...
it might be 24 hours behind based on the opening question that you started this whole
your
thing.
Your brain has
the hard candy
shell.
I knew the plane crashed. I just didn't know how.
Did you? Hey!
Hey, Tard, did you really just say true dat?
He did.
He's really tard.
Wow, that's
this
pretty bad.
This bulletin just in, Pepsi stock through the roof. Coca-Cola, this is from Atlanta. Breaking news. Coca-Cola says forget it. They're pouring it all down the drain.
How did the show go from a Yankee pitcher dying in a plane crash to ridiculing a poor Pepsi merchandiser?
I don't know, because we searched all
the thing I said is I work for Pepsi, and we've heard six words about the plane crash.
If the Pepsi company is smart, they've got their entire board of directors listening to this phone call right now.
Executive of tomorrow today.
And you're a Pepsi merchandiser?
Yeah.
Where is that on the pecking order as far as Pepsi goes? I mean, what is your entry?
Number one.
Really?
I'm number one.
That is an entry-level position?
What is that right below knob polisher?
Oh, man, that is number one. I am number one. Number one merchandiser.
You mean you're the bottom rung?
What? You know what you are? You're the K-Fed of Pepsi.
Yeah.
You're the Kevin Federline of Pepsi. You truly are. And your girlfriend is the Britney Spears of Pepsi.
Would your job as a merchandiser be described as an entry-level position?
I just started, so yes.
would your girlfriend be described as an entry level position?
How did your girlfriend get?
That's incredible.
How did your girlfriend?
He seems to be getting annoyed with us.
How did your girlfriend get you the job at Pepsi?
Good question.
She didn't. It was my girlfriend's father who got me the job.
But what did she do? How did she facilitate this?
She came up to me and said, "Hey, my dad works for Pepsi. Do you want a job with him?" I said,
and at that point, were you banging her yet?
Why do you guys want to know this?
Was your answer, I?
Were you banging her when she offered you the job?
I wasn't banging her, period.
Do you have any tattoos?
No.
Do you have any piercings?
No, I knew you were going to ask that, too. No, I don't. I'm a Christian.
Did you say that you were
banging
her?
You're a Christian?
Did you say you were banging
her? Yes, I'm a Christian.
Did you say that you were banging her during her period?
What? Are you kidding me?
I thought I just heard you say that. I was banging her, period.
No, I didn't.
So you're a Christian?
Yes, I am a Christian.
Have you ever, when she's been?
Yeah, I have, but, you know, it's not something I...
Hey, dude, you keep falling into the trap again. If you want to...
Listen to all the detail you're giving
us. If you want the old man not to think that you're banging her, now not only have you now told us that she does everything and she's great in bed, you even bang her during that special time.
Is Dad, is the girl's father, a God-fearing Christian man?
Number one, I didn't hear anything about her being on a period. I didn't answer that.
No, you
did. This is what I
got. You just did.
Huh?
You just did.
Is Dad a Christian?
Yeah, he's a preacher.
Oh, you're in trouble.
No, I'm not in trouble.
Yeah.
Did you bust your hymen?
I did some crap I didn't like doing, so I figured I should be a Christian. I heard about this stuff. If you don't get saved, you go to hell.
Have you been to jail?
No.
Have you been in juvie? Have you been in juvie?
No, but I've been close.
Really?
So how'd you get a job at Pepsi with your checkered past? Oh, I know, because you're banging the boss's daughter.
No.
All right.
What's the worst thing you've ever done? Like the closest you came to getting in trouble with the law?
Breaking and entering.
Brilliant.
It gets better and better.
And you, of course, didn't mention this to the people at Pepsi when you were hired, right?
No.
That you had almost gotten arrested for breaking
and entering. Well, is it still breaking and entering? It was more like trespassing because it was an abandoned building, but we broke it and entered it. So I guess it was trespassing more.
And did they call your parents?
Yeah, they knew. They didn't really care, you know.
You are smart.
Your parents didn't care, or the people that you got in trouble with didn't care?
Well, it was something that old naval base at
Oh.
And Port Deposit. The old Bainbridge Naval Base.
In Cecil County.
Is it, is it an abandoned naval base?
It is abandoned. It is very abandoned. Well, it wasn't abandoned when we were up there, but it's abandoned.
Wait, hold on a second. It wasn't abandoned. So was this a functioning naval facility that you decided you would break into?
I said it was an abandoned old naval base.
Yes, it's but you old. Said it wasn't abandoned when we broke into it.
Were there people?
It was. It was abandoned.
You didn't say that.
Did you ever bang the boss's daughter when you were there? Where's the craziest place you ever banged her? You ever bang her in his office?
I'm not answering that.
How about when you walk into the Pepsi offices, you know, that big round rug with the Pepsi logo? You ever have her right there? You ever turn off the security cameras and take her right there?
This is so weird.
I don't think he's smart enough to do that.
I called to ask about a stupid plane crash.
Yeah, and look what happened.
Exactly.
We learned so
all right,
much.
Seriously, I'm at Super Fresh. I got to hit the store.
Super Fresh.
Yeah, serious.
Wash your hands. Right. Wash your hands.
Serious.
I will wash my hands.
All right, dude.
All right.
Bye, K-Fed.
Call the boss.
Bye, Kevin. Bye-bye.
That's Christian K-Fed.
He was fun.
That's a lucky dad out there. God, polish the shotgun.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, Radio Gods?
Hi there.
Hey, I work at Pepsi, too. I don't want to get like that guy, though. But as far as the pecking order go, it's hand truck, merchandiser, vending machine. But he's way on the bottom.
So he's, so, on so he's bottom. One step up from hand truck.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. That's what his girlfriend does.
Yeah. Right,
where's the hand truck?
Wow.
Thank you, my
Thank
friend.
Thank you.
See you later. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how's it going, Don and Mike?
All right.
Don, I was totally with you on the ESPN coverage being crazy yesterday. Did you notice how they kept mentioning how Coronado was part of the fraternity of baseball?
Yeah, you know, they took it as an opportunity to schmaltz it up to an extent that it did not have to be schmaltzed.
Yeah, I saw a bio done by Len Berman on Channel 4 out of New York, and it just, I don't know why it was weird. It just seemed like it was too soon. You know what I mean? I mean, after the dust settles, they figure out everything. But I guess they have to, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's the same old deal where everybody, they always seem confused. They seem a little bit confused.
I think we said yesterday it would be a feeding frenzy. I just didn't think it would be as spirited as it is. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio Gods.
Howdy.
Hey, I think the case is pretty cut and dry and as far as the investigation goes. Wasn't Rob A. up actually on top of the Empire State Building waving his gorilla arms around?
That's
exactly it.
I was the guy with the blonde in my hand.
that was exactly it. All right, enough about that. Hey, I had a fun morning this morning. I was telling Mike about this. I can tell you this very briefly, that I got up early like I always do, did what I had to do, went outside to get the newspaper, came back up to my front door and realized that I went to turn the handle on the door, and it just went round and round and round, like the wheels on a bus. And I thought, well, I am just screwed, blued, and tattooed, because the lock is broken on my house. So,
and you got it locked up tight, and you can't get in.
Right, because I've shut the door behind me, and I don't know why I broke the handle, the lock. I don't know what's going on.
You're so strong. It's your Herculean strength.
So I hike up the street to the neighbor house, you know, where she's got the key, and I say, "You got a key for my house?" And she says, "Yes." I say, "Oh, great."
Was she up? I didn't ask you that before the show.
It was like 6:10. Yeah, so she was up.
Okay.
My neighbor. So, she said, "Yeah." So I make my way back down the hill. Go to the front door, put the key in, and it just
goes around, strict.
Round and around. So now I'm standing in front of my house, and it's about 6:30. The sun is not even up yet. And I'm thinking...
Are you cold? Are you cold, Batman?
No, it was like 60.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, oh, my options here are very limited, that I either, like, go wake up another neighbor or go back to the other neighbor, and then what did I call the cops or call the locksmith or like, and that the thought even crossed my mind, well, maybe I'll just break a window.
Break a pane of glass.
Break a window to get in. And I thought, no, I don't want to do that. Then I remembered, hold on a second. Frida had this thing put in. This thing where you turn this panel and you push buttons and the garage door goes up. Right?
Oh, sure.
So this thing is on the outside of the house. It's like a hidden little panel.
Right.
So, back Shakespeare's head.
Right. So anyway, I do this thing. I open it up, and I'm thinking, I'm on top of the world. I'm on top of the world. And I look at the keypad, and I realize,
I don't know what the number is.
Oh, no.
I don't know what the number is.
You've never had the occasion to use that thing.
No, and I thought, you know who knows what the number is? Well, my son knows what the number is.
Oh, good.
Well, I'm not by a telephone.
Oh, your telephone's inside?
And it's 6:30 in the morning, and it's not like I'm going to get him he's going to be at a passed out. So I'm standing there like an idiot, and finally I lucked into it. I mean, one of these days we are going to have to change that 6666. That's our code.
Too easy.
It
was Halloween time, too.
I finally remembered the old secret Frida code. And
oh, boom, good.
Got inside, and... many thanks to Janet, who is over there sitting now at the house.
As they fix everything?
Yeah, waiting for the locksmith to show up. She came over last night, and we had dinner, and we watched the Tina Fey show.
Uh-huh.
Yuck. Ugh.
Yeah.
Like a stinking, smelly piece of crap that show was.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Really, as bad as it could have been.
Just the worst, and then just because that show was awful, and there was nothing else on. I couldn't watch my PPI because all of the stuff on ESPN, so then... Janet said, let's watch The Biggest Loser, and I haven't really watched The Biggest Loser before. And, you know,
that fits into the story of my evening.
My only
well.
Question is, you know, how come the host of that show is not on that show?
I have never been able to answer
Caroline
that.
Ray.
It's one of Carla's favorite shows, and I've always asked, why is she allowed to host that show? Why can't she be like the trainers? I mean,
she's fat enough.
She is.
She really is fat enough.
She could go up the escalator.
And I really should thank Janet as well for being such a really great cook. She's the reason that I've been able to, you know, also get my weight down. She cooks better for me. And today was $199. So I mean, take a freaking picture of it, because I don't know if I'll ever be in this territory again.
And still breaking doors,
baby. Yeah, making it happen.
Not good.
And I'll tell you later about my daughter, who I love very much, but I steal this from Rob. Really? Are you stupid like your mother? I say that with love to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She has had to undergo a bunch of spinal surgeries recently. I won't bore you with the details.
Right.
But she's had a very long checkered path with medical problems. She's on the other side of the tunnel now, and she's got two or three more procedures that are just, you don't want to even know the stuff that they do to her. But fortunately for her, the last couple of times she doesn't have to stay overnight at the hospital. But it is serious enough that they put her under because they're working on her spine, and she's got like to stay there for 4 or 5 hours and then let her go home, and she's off her feet for the weekend.
Right.
So she's having one of these procedures done today.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls me up, and she says, hey, Daddy, I want to let you know I'm on the way to the hospital. I said, great. I said, let me talk to Josh. That's her husband.
Right.
My son-in-law. And she said, oh, he's at home with the kids. And I said, well, who's taking you? And she said, a taxi.
Okay.
Now, as it turns out, the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, twin cities like Washington, Baltimore, I mean, except they're closer together. They really are two cities.
Yeah, right.
With two separate traffic headaches, like all cities where people
right.
live. Anyway, the cab was like $77 one way
yeah.
because it's also 29 degrees and snowing today.
Boy,
in Minneapolis.
Way.
And I said to her, hold on a sec. Didn't Josh take the day off work today? She said, yes. I said, why didn't Josh just take you to the hospital and drop you off and then come pick you up? She said, well, because he had to take the kids to school,
right.
and one kid goes to school, and another one's got to be picked up, and the next one's got to be dropped off. I said, well, why wouldn't you just give the kids the day off from school? And she said, well, I don't know. We just thought I'd take a cab. So I said, so when you're done with this spinal surgery this afternoon, is somebody picking you up this afternoon? And she said, well, no, because the one kid's got one thing that they've got to go, and the other kid's
got to go pick them up again.
So she's going to be taking a cab. She's going to come out of
$150.
She's going to come out of, it's not the money, Mike. It's the thought that she's going through, you know, semi-serious surgery.
On a spine.
Yeah. And she's taking,
you know, everybody's been in the back of an average cab. It was a very comfortable seat.
She's taking a cab there. Hold on. Yes, Yanni.
Question. I've been going through the things with my kidney stones, and that's one of the things they keep asking me every time I go is who's taking you, because a taxi will not let you leave in a taxi.
I happen to know that the rules in Minneapolis and the state of Minnesota are different, because I ran that by her as well, and she said,
okay.
Hey, as long as someone's out there.
No, I in Minnesota, the back of a taxi cab is a sterile environment. Yeah, unlike here in the D.C. area.
And then I felt so bad for her because she said, you know, are you mad at me? And I'm like, no, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you at all. It's just the thought that you're going to go to get this procedure done, this heavy procedure done, and that you're going in a taxi cab. And I said, you know, it's like what a homeless person would do.
They can afford it.
That's the only thing. Yeah, a totally off-base thing for me to say made no sense. But anyway, I hung up the phone.
Well, you know, haven't they delivered babies in the back of cabs?
Yeah, they have.
They've made babies in the back of cabs.
You know,
maybe you have. I don't know. Maybe. Is there something you want to tell us, Buzz? Not that I've already haven't said.
Those crazy kids. So that and it was a conscious decision that they made. They sat around and said, okay, what do we do today?
Right.
Well, we can't take the kids out of the school. Okay, I tell you what. Yeah. It's snowing. It's 29 degrees. You're having spinal surgery today. Take a cab.
Yeah.
What?
Maybe we'll see Amy on HBO.
Oh, taxi cab.
After she's all drugged up with the procedure, that'd be pretty good.
I'm sure she'll be A-OK.
I never believe taxi cab confessions. I believe it's fake. I believe it's fixed.
I'm sure she's
A-OK. I believe it's completely contrived. Like, you can tell me that every episode of that, they have, you know, like a hooker get in there that's going to have a detailed discussion with her John about what's going to happen. I don't buy that for a second.
Well, that's where, you know, I just jump through the friggin' phone and say, you know, I'll be there. I'll take you. But, you know, what can you do?
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's long distance. It's frustrating.
What can you do? She's a grown woman.
You
and,
have loved ones in different parts of the country. I've lived my whole life like that. It's very frustrating. Yeah.
They know what they're doing, I guess. Sure. Snow and 29 degrees.
Nice.
Spinal surgery. Oh, your cab's here. All right. See you guys for dinner.
Don't slip.
Bye-bye.
You know, Don, I have had, you know, most of my family live far apart from me for most of my life, and I found that my general thoughtlessness helps me get through that. But I pass that along. In general, it helps. It helps to go, oh, yeah, so that other person is taking care of it? Thanks, Mom. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, sounds like that just shows me she is my kid, because I could see Bart doing that.
Sure.
I absolutely could see Bart taking a cab to go to the hospital if he had to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
I'm sure she's not the first person that's done it, and won't be the last.
No, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just
better going to the hospital with a cab than the coming home part is a little tough. I just hope the suspension.
You know, I just picture, you know, some guy that looks like John
Leguizamo.
Yeah, you know, behind the wheel, and he's got the cigarette. Hey, looking at her in the rearview mirror. You little out of it, little lady.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an
not really
horrible.
Not really, Mike. But I mean,
I didn't know that's where your mind was going.
No, I mean, I don't like the thought of her getting in a car.
See, I think, you know, when I think in terms of cabs, I think it's this is what I would envision happening, going, there's no way this street exists on this map.
Oh, but then you get...
It's been 6 hours.
You know, I'm forgetting it's Minnesota.
Right.
It's Minnesota nice. So no matter who it is, whether it's a white person, a black person, an Arab, they all speak... Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Oh, I'll take you home there.
I got a couple extra blankets in the trunk.
Yeah.
But you don't want the blankets that are in the trunk.
Taxi blankets.
Taxi trunks. Taxi trunks are about the grossest thing in the world.
Anyway, I hope she's doing okay. And,
sure.
And next time, for God's sakes, don't take a cab.
Don't they have buses out there?
Yeah, there you go.
Much safer, better
Minnesota
lighting.
Minnesota bus traffic.
Anyway, so, you know, what are you? But like your mother?
That's
really all I have to say about that.
Right.
We got a break here so we can talk to Joe Theismann about his facelift. But Mike, do not think that that I've forgotten what you told me before the show.
What?
When we get done with Joe, remember the other day, Mike, last week Mike recommitted to his workout regime. And then yesterday...
I mentioned that I had failed.
That you had,
but I was a fallen dieter.
But that you were back on it. Yesterday you committed again to it. And and then last night, for whatever reason, Mike said to me before the show, he said, well, I figure as long as I was going to be starting the new program today, that last night I would let myself go just one last time.
I had talked about the fact that I'd done some light snacking
somewhat
in between, and one of the things that I said that I hadn't done is something I decided to do last night on my way home. Since Carla wasn't going to be home when I got home for dinner.
Okay, hold on a second. Can you save it, please?
I sure can. Wow.
Wow, that was a late call.
Yeah.
I had
a very good plan.
Yeah, you were going to have chicken with rice, right?
Yeah, maybe. You know what? Maybe really all along it's what I wanted.
You won.
I think seriously at about 5 o'clock is when the cheating began. That's when I started thinking about the cheating.
So when does the regime now started?
No, now see, you're not.
Is
that's not. No, but I
said. Oh, here's somebody.
Here's the pusher. It doesn't bother me that you
here's
do that.
Here's the pusher. What do you have, Joe? Somebody,
come on, Mike. Come join us.
What do you have, Joe?
Don't listen to those people.
What do you have?
I got Snickers and M&M's and Butterfinger and Kit Kats in the back. Fresh.
Wow. Not interested. Not interested today. Not interested.
I'll tell you all about it.
All right,
I'll tell you all about my night last night.
But is today day one?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Is it or not?
Well, I mean, if I work out, it's a day that's a good day. I worked out today.
Okay, go ahead.
I worked out vigorously today. Worked out harder than I have in all the 4 days that I did last week. I worked harder today than I did all last week.
Good.
There's only one problem with that.
Wow.
This is the only day I've worked out this week.
Yeah, that's a start.
See, it's all a push. But no, I really, you know, I have to tell the whole story.
All right. Well, we have Joe coming up next.
Please don't embarrass me.
I will not. I hate being embarrassed
in front of a handsome man. I hate being embarrassed.
Yeah, no problem, Mike. We'll take that up in the break after, Joe T. So, Willa, we'll talk to Skeletor.
Yeah. But this morning when I woke up, I felt just like that TV commercial. I think it's for Taco Bell. I'm full!
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Thank you, Chris.
I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
Well, it'd be a hell of a lot of weight.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
Oh, can I say something? This will make anybody that's rooting for me in this feel better about my weight. I'd like to go on record saying I am not heavier than anyone on The Biggest Loser. Any of the men?
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Thank you,
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
Is that Joe? All right, tell we're going to break. We'll be right back with Joe, too.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Don, Joe Theismann. How you doing, buddy? I listen to your show every morning. I'm sitting at my farm, and I just heard the story about McMahon. And let me explain something to you. Okay. First of all, I've been there. See, you haven't been here for a short period of time. Yeah, it is me, Don. I'm not kidding. I'm flat square on. I love your program in the morning, but you don't really know what Joe Theismann's like. You ever been in the Super Bowl?
The Don and Mike Show.
Yep. Ow. Tough to argue with that one.
Ow.
Victims of laxative abuse. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I think for Joe Theismann, is there any better put down? You ever been in a Super Bowl?
How do you argue with that?
Answer no.
No way.
Well, let's welcome him now. He's even more big time than any time we've had him on the show.
We've known this gentleman for a very long time.
Even back, I'd have to say now he's maybe more big time than he was back in the day when he was playing.
Yeah, I mean, he's at the top of his game in the broadcast booth, that's
right.
For sure.
So here he is now from Monday Night Football. Joe Theismann.
Hey,
hello.
Joe!
Hello, guys.
Joe, you have finally reached the heights.
I finally made it.
You're the man.
Broadcasting.
It's Mr. Mike. It's Sir Donald.
Oh, it's good to talk to you, Joe.
And Joe,
I heard that, I heard that you were anointed by the queen. Well, I'm sorry. He was a queen. I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
He's starting right in. He's starting right. Why wait? Wait? No need to wait.
Let's get right into it, Joe. First and foremost, you're a great broadcaster. You're great on that show. You're a great player. You could probably still throw the ball 50 miles. Standing on your knees at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, I must ask you something. Now that I look at you in spectacular ESPN high definition.
He looks wonderful, doesn't he?
What work have you had done? Joe, you're among friends?
I'm going to tell you the absolute 100% truth because, you know, between us.
Yes.
No lies.
Right, of course.
Yes.
I have had absolutely nothing done, and you're like the fifth person that's asked me.
Why would people be asking then?
I don't know.
It's like Kenny Rogers denying that he had a facelift.
No. You can't put him in Kenny Rogers. Sorry.
No,
you're
not.
Taking the worst facelift in the history of mankind.
Kenny Rogers and Joan Rivers, I'm convinced, have had no work done whatsoever.
Joe, is it your fabulous workout regimen? Is that what does it?
I don't know.
Keeps you looking so young.
You know, sometimes it's the lighting in the booth. I mean, it really is. It's, you know, the young lady that does the makeup does a good job. And I got my teeth fixed. That's the only thing that I can tell you that I had done was my teeth.
All right. Well, then let's move on to the other hot topic, which is
The orange man that sits next to you in the booth.
That we all know. We've known him for a long time, too.
Here's my take on Tony, is that Tony has not been the let's turn off that music. Tony has not been the same prick that he is on, like, PTI. And I think, in part because he's intimidated by you, Joe, that you're... Sometimes they put Tirico in between you guys, but... A lot of times you're sitting right there next to him.
You know, knowing both of you guys, Joe, seriously, when you guys started, and I really anticipated a little bit more of a, jam session between you and Tony. I thought you guys might get into it. Do you see that happening in the future at all?
It could. Mm-hmm. I think we've been very fortunate, guys, to have some sensational football games. And my firm belief is that people tune in to watch Monday Night Football because, first of all, it's the get-even night. I mean, because it's, the last game of the season, of the week. But the other thing is we've had some terrific contests, and people want to see good football. I mean, geez, the Denver-Baltimore game last week, the Pittsburgh-Jacksonville game.
I agree, but Joe, hold on. I have to throw this in. I agree with you. The games have been great. The matchups have been great. The coverage on ESPN is perhaps the best in the entire broadcast world. But... if they're going to bring that guy from Desperate Housewives and make him sit in the booth while the game is on, I think that was Monday night in Denver, and it was during a pretty important part of the game, and you guys are showing a still of this guy coming out of the shower, and then he's sitting up there like a big doofus. If they're going to force that pablum down our throats, well, then why can't you... give some to the old orange coot. Next to
the orange man.
You know what I'm saying?
Let me say this. There's a chance that there may be some exchanges in the future, but I think what people lose sight of, and sometimes when things go quite well early, you automatically have expectations of something more. This is only going to be Tony's sixth real broadcast in the booth.
Right.
He's still getting comfortable.
Don't let him forget it.
No, I mean, he's still finding his way.
I
want to say this about Tony. You have to understand that during 5 days a week, he does PTI. And he and Mike just beat the living daylights out of one another. They go back and forth. They interrupt and they argue. The venue of a football game is not the format to do that in. It's wrong. Maybe a little bit of it, but I think the fans would grow tired of he and I talking over plays or Mike trying to referee. So
let me give you an example.
It's a very delicate balance that we're trying to achieve.
Joe, here's the example I'll give you. And you're going to find that, by the way, the stuff I give you, it's obvious that I've watched the games. And I like the presentation. I thought it was great when Tony Kornheiser said to you, "What's a silent count?" I don't remember which game it was. It was an early game, and you laughed like, "You don't know what a silent count is." And I thought, "Okay, here we go.
Yep.
Now we're going to get some of Joe T coming down on the old orange guy."
Because the fact is, we watch Tony Kornheiser on PTI, and I've seen PTI. I know he's got it. He's got it in him. And we both know Joe from, both personally and being on this show. And Joe, we certainly know you got it in you. And I'd just love to see a little of that. Maybe just consider it a request.
I can just say this. It is something that is duly noted. And for those that have the same interest as you, stay tuned because it's a long year. Okay.
Here's I'm just waiting for one time for him to say something that's incredibly stupid.
Him to say what he said to you.
I just want
to
say, not even Super Bowl. You ever throw a ball, Kornheiser?
I'll give you an example. He asked James Stanton, he said, "Which one of the Desperate Housewives would you sleep with?" Right?
Right. Yeah.
He didn't ask me. I mean, I'm a little pissed, to be honest with you. I'm sitting there on the side over there in my little corner, I'm thinking, gee, if I was asked that question, I'd better be careful. Robin will kill me. But no, it's, we're really finding our way. And everything has been wonderful. Tony has worked very hard. It's tough to go five days a week doing one thing and all of a sudden flip the switch. I give him a lot of credit. He's smart. He wants to be good. We know how neurotic he can be.
Right.
But this is the type of person he is. When we put this booth together, and when the ESPN said this is the way it's going to feel, first it was Al Michaels, then it was Mike and Tony. And what I decided to do is I had no preconceived notion of what this booth was going to look like. I just said to myself, we're going to do whatever we're going to become at some point in time. And at the end of the year, we'll figure out whatever that is, if we figure it out by then. But in the meantime, I'm just going to enjoy it and react to whatever happens. And it's been fun. I'm telling you, each week, this past week, I felt like we had more of a conversation in the booth and a more comfort level with one another than we've had in the previous 3 weeks.
I just think you're too physically intimidating that you should stop taking the growth hormones or whatever you're taking. And
maybe they live a daylight out of them, don't I?
Maybe if they put Tony in a different booth, he would have the balls to say.
Well, you know, it's the fact it is that physical, you know, cowardice that all of us in the broadcast business have that haven't played the game. That's true.
Joe,
yep.
I love asking you this every time. Do you still think you could go out there and win it?
Okay. This is, now, truth again, a year and a half ago, I found out I had two partial tears of a rotator cuff in my right shoulder and a bone spur that don't allow me to throw. I could get it fixed, but it doesn't affect my golf game.
Yeah, it does. Your golf game's gotten better and better, hasn't it?
So, yeah, my golf game is pretty good. So, as a matter of fact, I'm sitting outside of Raspberry Falls right now visiting with you guys. But I just walked off the practice range. I said, oops, I got to call my buddies. But anyway, yeah. I would, at 55 was the last time I threw, and that was a couple years ago. So, for me, my throwing days are over.
Oh, really?
All right, well, that's
okay.
All right, there you go.
That's a verse.
It's official.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joe, in your humble opinion, who's the best team right now? Is it the Bears?
The Chicago Bears going away. And we have them this Monday night against Arizona out in Arizona. But they're really complete. Defensively, they've always been good. They run the football well. Rex Grossman has given them a down-the-field presence that they didn't have with Kyle Orton. And it's really, I think, for Redskin fans, you know, Redskin fans are sitting there saying, okay, we've got Santana Moss, who made big plays down the field. A couple of weeks ago against Jacksonville, Santana Moss made big plays. Where are they on a weekly basis? Why can't we see this out of Redskin football? Mark Brunell certainly has been able to throw the ball down the field, made a great throw against Jacksonville to win that. So I think, you know, there's a frustration in Washington that you don't have in Chicago. Chicago had that kind of frustration a year ago. Second best team, probably the San Diego Chargers. Should have never lost to the Baltimore Ravens.
Where do you put the Colts, even though they're undefeated?
Third,
and
I put them third.
And where do you have the Eagles?
Fourth. Yep.
And then
you're going down the list pretty well.
I'm trying to think. Okay, maybe it's the Patriots next. Maybe it's the Ravens next.
There's a little bit of this is the logjam. Really, is at five. I think the Minnesota Vikings. We saw how good they were in the beginning of the year against the Redskins. I think they're a very good football team. They're going to win a lot more than they're going to lose. The New Orleans Saints, I don't believe, is a surprise. St. Louis is at 4-1. Baltimore is at 4-1. But Baltimore's got to start generating some more offense. They just can't leave people in a game. They could have beaten Denver. Denver's another one. I mean, I put Denver up there. We have a lot of, you know, the tough 15 teams right now that just finish, you know, 9-7, 10-6, 11-5 at worst. And then there are the Oakland Raiders and the Miami Dolphins where, you know, you don't know if they're going to finish.
All right, and who's the worst? Is it the Raiders?
I think the Raiders are because of the youth at quarterback. They just, you know, their coordinator's been out of the game for 20 years, and they're a football team that is bickering. I mean, you know, Jerry Porter's not happy. Randy Moss is basically saying, well, it's going to be whatever it's going to be, so I'll just show up and take my check. There's not a whole lot of pop in that football team, and it's they really need to do something drastic. I mean, John Gruden took them a few years ago to a Super Bowl, and boy, you talk about falling from grace fast. They have.
Joe, what's the last movie you saw? Do you have a life outside of football in your
You still live in the area, right? So obviously you're out of Raspberry Falls. Around here, right?
I still have my ranch out in the country. Yep, we still have there. Robin and I have a new home down in Memphis. The last one I saw, Pirates of the Caribbean. I love that one. I want to go see The Departed.
Do you find that when you're doing
you'll love it. Everybody gets their heads blown off in the last
I go to sleep by movies. I go to sleep by body count.
You got to wait till the end of that one.
Do you find that doing the Monday Night Football you've been in the broadcast booth for a long time now. Do you find now this is it's bigger and better than ever? You get more of a support network with this. This is the big time. It really is. This is the high point for you in your broadcast career, isn't it?
Mike, I'm telling you, it really is. I mean, my career ended on a Monday night. My first broadcast was actually a part of what was considered the Monday night crew. I did Super Bowl 19. People forget that. Don Meredith, Frank Gifford, and I broadcast Super Bowl 19. That was the ABC Monday night team at that time. I replaced O.J. Simpson back in 1985.
Those are nice shoes.
I completely forgot.
Those are nice. Bruno, what kind of shoes are those?
Bruno Magli's.
Bruno Magli's shoes.
That's how long. But no, this is, it's really funny. People, when we went through all these changes in the offseason and people said, with all the things now, NBC coming in, CBS, Fox, ESPN, where are you? And I would say, well, I'm still with ESPN, and I'm going to be doing Monday Night Football. All of the responses have been, holy mackerel, you finally made it to the big time.
Yeah, even though you've been doing it so long, it is that it does have that aura around it, doesn't it?
It really does. The National Football League invested 36 years in making Monday Night Football a special event. It isn't a football game, it's an event. And one of the things in the course of this short season that I've been very proud of for us is the way we handled the New Orleans-Atlanta game. And I thought, tried to show the world what's going on in New Orleans. And every politician in Washington should be embarrassed at the way that they're treating people in this country.
Well, as long as you're going to get political, Joe.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want everybody to go. I want to let everybody know right now, this is his next career. He's starting it right here. He's starting it here.
I went through the 7th Ward. I went through the 9th Ward. And, you know, I mean, first of all, you don't choose friends of yours to run things like FEMA. You choose qualified individuals.
Joe,
and
are you
in politics? I don't want to get into politics, but being down in New Orleans, I got mad.
Let's do it. Are you a Democrat or Republican, Joe?
I'm a Republican.
Did you vote for El Dum Dum?
No.
You didn't vote for Bush.
I didn't vote.
Oh, you didn't vote. Okay.
No, I mean I'm a Republican.
Rob's applauding. Our producer Rob is applauding the fact that you didn't vote. I guess he likes that. I don't know why.
I know people say, how can you express your opinion if you don't vote? I'm going to express my opinion, and certainly, it's just to me. What I see having transpired over the last couple of years, I gauge leadership by the people you surround yourself with. With no General Schwarzkopf present, with no Colin Powell present, there's a sense that we don't carry the same authoritative nature that we did with those men in their presence. A gentleman like a Rudy Giuliani who, you know, when he steps to the microphone, you want to hear what he has to say.
Joe, let's just cut to the chase. Do you want to start to be a senator like Arnold?
Are you going to go on the state level, Joe, or are you going to go right to, you know, like
guys,
this?
You got to understand something. I can't run for political office because I'd have to run for 2 terms just to get half the things out of my closet. Okay?
And Joe,
let's be real here.
And Joe, I have to point out, when you say that I'm laughing louder than
anybody, Joe.
You don't like hearing people say, well, you shouldn't comment on the elections and stuff if you didn't vote. Isn't that very similar to a guy like you saying, hey, what do you know about football? Because you never played.
But you know what? The thing is, there's two different areas. I had an opportunity to see the game from the inside out. Tony and Mike get to see the game from outside in. And it's just like you guys. I mean, you and I've had this guy. I mean, Don, I remember, I think, a long time ago, my comment to you was, you know, when's the last time you put a uniform on?
Yeah, we're in a Super Bowl. That was...
Yeah, when's the last, you know, how many Super Bowl rings do you have?
Yeah, that was exactly it. Yes, none.
It's, what happens is there are different views, different perspectives. People see things differently. And what I appreciate is sometimes I'm so tunneled with the vision because I'm inside the game, I'm protective of the game, whereas Tony can bring an objective to it. One of the things that Tony is afraid of is as he sits in these production meetings and gets to know people, he won't be able to criticize them because he's really going to like them.
We were talking about that just the other day, and that is the toughest part. We were talking about the fact that you guys go on the road every week. You have to go into the camps. You have to go to the different places.
He used to make his living saying what a stiff Brian Billick is,
right?
And I turn on the game, and it's like, hey, here I am with my best friend, Brian Billick.
That's a hard balance for all of you guys that do that, right? I mean,
it is, and it's something, you know, it's something we're working on. I think, you know, Tony wants to be a bit more objective, wants to be a bit more critical of situations. And what you find out is when you don't know anything about the world, in this case, the world of football, you tend to go on hearsay, observations, comments, and then all of a sudden you sit down and you find out, you know, there's some really great men that are involved in the game of football as coaches, as owners, as players, and it takes a little bit of the sting out that he wants to try and deliver. But that said, he's not done yet, okay?
Let me end this by giving you, I'm the last guy to give you advice, but after hearing you talk now, the next time you guys have a dog game, and I mean, like, you have the Raiders coming up this year on your schedule, right?
I think we do somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, so you got at least one or two dog games.
Well, Christmas night, we have the Jets in Miami.
Okay, well, maybe Christmas night wouldn't be the night for what I'm thinking about, but the next time that there's a dog schedule and it's like 40-0, in the second half, if Tirico says, like, hey, look, the Saints are winning 40-0, why don't you just say, yeah, Mike, am I the only one that thinks we're making a huge mistake by being in Iraq? I mean, just throw it in there.
It'll be riveting television.
Just throw it in there.
You know what I will say, though? God bless the men and women that have gone over there and done their job. And to all the families and all the veterans, and I had a chance to be opening night at Walter Reed Hospital with some of the vets that have come back. And I want to tell you something. These people are the most courageous in the world. I had a chance to play at Camp Lejeune with a triple amputee by the name of Joey Bozick. The kid plays golf. We have some of the most incredible men and women in our armed forces. And I don't care what your political affiliation is. I don't care whether you disagree or agree with what's going on. We have men and women in harm's way that need our prayers and our support.
I'm telling
That's
you,
where it belongs.
I'm Joe Theismann, or I've approved this ad.
There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe him. I think he's running for office. Skeletons
Thanks,
or not.
Guys.
Absolutely.
All right, Joe. We'll see you later.
You're the best.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Now, I'm sorry. I've known him a long time. I think that he plans like Schwarzenegger plans. I really do. I think, and I know he's mentioning the skeletons in the closet. Does that sound like a candidate or what?
Yeah.
Sounds like, or it's a guy that knows he's, you know, more often, I guess, on the national stage now with Monday Night Football. Who knows?
No.
Huh? It sure sounds, I sure sounded like, I thought I was listening to a candidate. I really did.
When he started, I mean, because that's what they all do. You know?
Right.
Hey, listen. No matter how you feel about the war, you know, what's the one thing that you could say that no one will get pissed off at?
Groups.
Got to support the guys and girls
over
there.
Well, it started when he talked about Katrina when he was down there. And, you know, and then he's mentioning Schwarzkopf, calling back. He's running for 2 years. Give it 2 years, you know. I mean, what
should you do? Really, just one night, just give Kornheiser one of these.
Reach over and pull that strand of hair that he combs over his bald head and just pull it as hard as you can so you hear Tony go, ow, don't hurt me!
You know, while the play is on the field, you know, while something's going on the field.
Right.
For God's sakes. And the next time the guy from Desperate Housewives is in the booth.
He's going to ask me.
Joe, step up. Become a part of the conversation.
Yeah, well, if you get him talking about women, that might start the whole skeleton chat.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I've always had some very spirited discussions with Joe Theismann. He's a nice man.
Joe likes women.
Joe likes women, indeed he does.
Ben.
No, he doesn't, Rob.
Rob.
Rob. Rob, you know.
You're the one who took that in a bad way.
I guess I did. Sorry.
No, we were implying that Joe took it in the bad way.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
I'm just surprised about one thing.
What's... Oh, now you get your microphone
He gets
on.
His microphone
What's
now?
Gone?
How did they get Kornheiser to work on Christmas Day?
Home! The eighth wonder of the world!
I'll explain it to you during the commercials.
That would be nice.
Good God.
Okay, listen, Mike.
Yes?
Mike.
Uh-huh.
Last name Will, first name Power.
Mm-hmm.
Or last name Power, first name Will.
Right. Don, there have been times in my life where I've lost significant amounts of weight.
I know, my friend. When we come back, yesterday's menu.
Yeah, all my troubles seem so far away.
We'll be right back.
Number 4, Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me? I could probably teach you a few things. I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
Halloween spooks outside my window.
God, you're ugly.
Halloween spooks behind the tree.
You like attention, don't you?
I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And there's Halloween spooks outside my window.
I'll just be your secret lover.
for some hot, hot fun. This Wednesday, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville. 1471 Rockville Pike. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, beautiful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don, mouth-watering Mike, audacious Bud, red-hot Rob, and John and Joe, your joy boys. The fun starts at 8 p.m., so come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
Ooh. Hello?
Ooh.
What's up? Open your eyeballs and you can see that he's a little bit of a jerk.
You are in denial.
Oh!
Have you ever said no?
Excellent.
What are you, a moron?
I've got a schedule. We're going to Happy Swimming Spots today. That's why it is.
You effing C word.
Go to hippopotamus.
Shut the F up.
We need some help. I'll get it.
Oh, really?
I understand.
This is the Fright Break. Do you hear that sound? It's the sound of a heartbeat. A frightened, terrified heart. Is it beating faster than your heart or slower? This heart is going to beat for another 25 seconds. To allow anyone to leave this theater who is too frightened to see the end of the picture. 10 seconds more, and we go into the house. It's now or never. 5, 4. You're a brave audience.
Said,
2, 1.
Said, leave the center.
Right. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Look out!
Here's Don and Mike to talk for you.
All right, before we hear Mel Gibson, less than contrite apologies.
That's the rap on Mel Gibson that he's really not feeling that bad about what he did.
Got a bunch of tapes of him with the hard-hitting Diane Sawyer.
Hi, Mel.
I want to hear about what Mike had to eat.
I didn't have nothing.
First, you know, I'm looking at our fan site, and I wonder sometimes if people out there are actually fans of the show.
Oh, I hate it when you do that.
No. I'm going to bring up something. The first segment that we did today.
Yes.
Right out of the box, we talked about the overexposure on ESPN of the plane crash. And then we had what I thought, everybody agreed, that call with the guy from Pepsi.
Great, spontaneous. It really... kind of what we do. If you really wanted to know what we do, what the typical show would be, that would be that kind of phone call.
You know, I turned on our website here a second ago, our fan site, and it says a Pepsi guy, not too bright. So I think, let me see what the little brains have to say.
That's kind of what we said at the beginning.
The guy says,
almost sounded like Chris Hansen.
The guy says, what is up with the manufactured mean by Don and Mike? This dude ain't super bright, but they are digging hard for negativity.
Oh, shut up.
No, you want negative? I'll give you a negative. You're going to post on our fan site.
Yeah.
Next person writes, he's mentally retarded. Next person writes, hey, that was a good John Wayne impersonation. Next person writes, I think there was Spank Tank from this site. Next person, same guy, started the thread, writes, yeah, just a little too much manufactured meanness, in my opinion.
Oh, shut up.
The kid sounded like a typical 18-year-old.
So this man would be accusing us of not feeling real malice towards that individual a couple of times. And,
no.
You know, we really did. We really, really did. He was that dumb.
I want to say, we treated that guy with kid gloves. We treated him with love and respect.
And admiration.
Now
you know what we were doing? We were standing up for his father.
Now, on the other hand, you, whoever you are on this website... get the frig off this website.
Yeah, you're not a fan of this show.
Get the frig off if you don't get it.
Go away.
If you think there's manufactured meanness, I don't have to manufacture meanness when I'm mad.
I'm mad at some douchebag who's got nothing to do but listen to this show and pull his pants down and go to the computer and immediately write that you did or did not like something that we did. Eat me!
The mean plant is working overtime right now. The mean plant. The mean factory is open.
We weren't mean with that guy. We were charming with that guy.
We were having fun with that
That's
guy.
That's our job on this show. If we get some...
Was it a little mean? Yes. Was it heartfelt? Yes. Was not manufactured.
We get some beautiful loser that calls this show. We're going to take it and run with it.
Yeah.
And you've got a problem out there, you ass on that fan site, get those big fingers out of your nose and call us.
The meanness on this show is a natural resource. It's not something that's manufactured.
You can't
okay?
make
it. It's not
that.
Something like you go into a textile mill and you make it. No, this is something where you find it. You find it,
but
and
I'm working
there.
It up now.
There you go.
Now it ain't manufactured. Oh, boy. Jesus Christ.
That's the sound of the meanness coming down the assembly line.
Also the sound of love. Black Flag.
Love that song.
Black Flag.
I love that song.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. You go to a fan site, for God's sake.
How right? dare they?
I got some douchebag on there who doesn't have half an ass of an opinion.
How dare you, Mr. Fan?
To manufactured meanness.
I really thought, I like the mysticism.
It was at the same guy. I saw another thread as well.
Slip into your Klingon uniform.
I saw another thread. There's somebody like, why were they so mean to the Elvis guy yesterday?
Mean?
Yes.
Oh, come on. We're just having a little fun, folks.
I'm trying
to have a little fun, folks.
I'm wondering who the hell's listening to this show based on the emails that we receive here at our show and the stuff that I read on the fan site.
Mm-hmm.
Really, who the hell is listening?
Come on.
Are you people liking the show or what?
I've never enjoyed mean.
You know something?
And if you ever hear it on this show, I'll let you know when
I'd like to tell people we don't manufacture mean, and we don't manufacture hurt feelings.
That's right.
Okay? I hope that particular poster is listening on that website. We do not manufacture our wounded hearts. And there are two of them right now. I can't
keep
a straight.
I know what you manufacture.
What?
You manufacture joy.
I'll say it. If you cannot, and here's really part of the problem on these fan sites.
Yeah.
That I understand what's going on there. That on one hand, they're fans of the show, and that's nice, and they want to write stuff about the show. But on the other hand, they desperately want to show that they're not lemmings and that they're not zombies and that they don't mindlessly just believe everything we say. Well, let me just ask you.
I want a little Kim Jong-il here. Yeah. I want some mindless following.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
What's wrong with that?
You cannot photograph us lying down. I watched Oprah and Lisa Ling. Is it Lisa Ling or Lucy Liu, whoever?
Who's
the one that used to be on The View?
Lisa Ling was on The View.
She snuck into North Korea, and they got mad at her for taking a picture at a bad angle of the Dear Leader, a bad angle.
Is she the one who was on Arliss?
That's Sandra Oh.
Right. How can you tell? Listen, please. How about a little ask a thing on this side? If you're really fans of the
show. I'd appreciate it.
You're fans of the show. And you don't like something that we're doing. Just step off, douchebags.
Thank you.
Please. That's not manufactured meanness.
No, that was natural. That was a natural resource.
That's real. Jesus Christ.
Come on.
Can you imagine living under that microscope? Put yourself in our position for a second. Let's say that any of you douchebags on that board, or specifically I'm talking to the one douchebag out there. Let's say you had a job that anybody cared about, and that all I did 24 hours a day was wait for you to come on the air, and then as soon as you came on the air, I was like, oh, I didn't like that. That's manufactured meanness.
And you're on the fan site. It's fans.
Come on.
So that's what we're asking for.
We work
unconditional love.
We work so hard to get support. We don't get support from any. If we don't get support on a goddamn fan site, then shut the thing down. And if y'all want to prove that you've got some independence and that you're free thinkers, go to hell. Drink the Kool-Aid. Love the show. Get the message out. We got to get more listeners to the show. We can't talk about a goddamn site that's a fan site where you got some guy with his thumb up his butt saying, oh, that was very mean.
That's not helping.
Please. Why don't you go listen to the station with the best mix? Why don't you just eat one?
The preceding was not manufactured.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Please. Please. Should be a hate site, not a fan site. Blindly follow. That's what I ask you. Blindly follow.
Hey, if they call it a hate site, maybe they can shut it down.
Blindly follow.
Don't question.
You know,
We would like to be the Kim Jong-ils. We really would.
I've had other disc jockeys really say to me, like Big Don O'Brien has said, God, I wish my listeners were zombies like yours were. You know.
Loyal zombies.
Yeah.
Do you think it's unreasonable for both of us to ask to be called Code Dear Leaders?
Do you
think that maybe for the next week or so,
I do not think so, Mike.
On the fan site should refer to us as Dear Leaders. Dear Leaders, like Kim Jong-il.
Yes.
I think, and what they call the father was like supreme leader.
I like Kim Jong-Don. Kim Jong-Don.
Kim Jong-il?
No, I like Kim, how about just Kim Don? Kim Don.
Kim Don. And I'd like to be called Michael E. Eel. Mike Eel.
Okay. You want Michael E. Eel?
I don't know. I don't like that one. Somebody better come up with one for me.
Mike Eel isn't bad.
Mike Dong Eel.
Mike Dong Eel.
Mike Dong Eel.
And I'm Don L.
Don L.
Don L.
Don L. Valentine.
Always gets back to Don, doesn't it? I'm related to Cal L.
All right.
Krypton, right?
Yeah, that's right. From Krypton.
Mike Jong Eel.
All right, well, there you go. We've given them the scratch they need today. How
that
you
is
doing?
The message from your dear leaders today.
How you doing, Dion Eaters?
Hope all you enjoyed it.
Please
do not question the party.
How do you think we arrived at number 18 on the Lycos list of the most searched radio shows? Please, don't embarrass us like
that. What a thrill that is.
That is something we're going to be raising that up the Infinity Broadcasting flag today.
That's another number that has to come up, though. That's the number that we want to see go up.
That's right.
Next year when they measure it again.
On Lycos. Who uses Lycos as a search engine?
My 18th favorite search engine.
Lycos. And if you don't know, that's a story that's out in the press now, that Lycos, in an incredible attempt to try to get DJs to talk about them, well, gosh, duh, it worked. They put out the list of the most searched DJs, and Howard's number one again, of course, but, you know, we're in the top 20, and there's a lot of guys who have a lot more stations out there than us, and we're in the top 20, and really, you know, big deal. Who cares?
If you can't find Lycos, just Google it.
Who cares? Just, you know, all we ask is, on the fan site, unconditional love and support.
Yes, as far as the fan site is concerned, like us or kill yourself.
That's it.
Thank you.
Or step off.
Step off immediately.
Or just shut the whole baby down.
That is the message today from Dear Leader Number 1.
Anything else, DL Number 2?
Dear Leader Number 2 says, like us or go away forever. I have spoken. Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, this is Susie.
Hi, Susie. And wouldn't it be great if we really had the power like Kim Jong-il, if we got pissed off at that website and we said, you know, and that's it. No electricity for 30 days.
Shut it down. Who'll run Border Town? Or Barter Town, sorry. Who'll run Barter Town? Master Blaster. Master Blaster run Barter Town.
Kim Jong-il.
Ah.
Yes. Hello, Susie.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi, Susie. Is that S-U-Z-Y?
No, sir. S-U-S-I-E.
It's a good Susie. That's a good Susie spelling.
Thank you.
What can we do for you, Susie?
Well, I wanted to tell you, Radio Gods, that you saved my sanity weeks ago. I used to listen to your station a long time ago, moved out of the area, came back and found your station the second week you all were on vacation.
Yeah.
I had a heartbreak, you know how that goes, and I didn't want to... I didn't want to listen to every love song out there on every other station.
Of course.
But I came across yours, and it was like taking me back years. I loved it. Y'all saved me.
Thank you.
From going crazy.
Why did he leave you, may I ask?
Moved out of the area.
He moved out of the area.
One of those long-distance things, just couldn't keep it together, didn't tell you where he went.
Did he work for Pepsi? Oh, there I go again. Manufactured meanness.
Everything going well now, darling?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, every day on my way home from work, I listen to y'all. It's great.
That's wonderful. Isn't she nice? Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Susie, and we wish you nothing but happiness.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
Bye-bye. 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 Hope I see your Q someday.
Susie Q. Susie Q. Not to be confused. Jerry.
Little Susie Snowflake.
Mm. Susie Quattro.
Oh, Susie Quattro.
I might be king of the Susies.
Wake up, little Susie.
Did you have Susie Chapstick?
Oh, that's a good one, Mike. You're in competition. Wake up, little Susie.
Not to be confused with her alter ego, Susie Chappie, which was the famous skier.
Wow, you might be king of the Susies. Hello, Don and Mike.
Susie Anton.
Hello, shut up.
Hello.
Was it the soundboard? Hello?
Hello?
Let me see. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, you are on the air.
Hello, my dear leaders. How are you today?
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
That is good, dear leaders.
Thank you.
That is wonderful.
Listen, I don't know what the douchebags are writing online because I don't have time to check, but I just wanted to let you know that I have been a loyal listener for over a decade, and I love you guys.
Thank you, honey.
I tell you, I'm almost in a state of turgidity over dear leaders. Uh-huh.
Okay, now, let me see. Here we go. I'm not even going to get into this beyond this
page. Are their fingers bleeding as they type now?
Yeah, and especially Mr. Big Man had to start it all.
Right.
It's on now page number 2,
mm-hmm.
where the next poster writes, here we go, see you tomorrow, meaning he's going to log off because the...
Oh, because we're talking about it?
Yeah. Then the guy who originally wrote it writes, and this is what pisses me off about people on the site, hey, so I'm brutally honest, so what? I can be a fan and not like everything.
Wrong, we are your dear leaders.
That's wrong.
No we question. Are your dear leaders. You will not question the judgment of the dear supreme leaders.
And then let me see. Then it says, Don, prepare for ass-kissing and tongue-in-cheek. Hi, Mike. Then it says, blindly follow, must drink Kool-Aid. I get the feeling that people are mocking us here. Then someone else writes, agreed him. Hold on. Someone writes to, hey, I'm brutally honest, so what? The guy writes, agreed him.
It is illegal to mock dear leaders.
Why not put it in negative comments? And then he writes, someone writes back to the guy who started the thread, are you going to contact Don and Mike and tell them to stop? And he says, nope, just a comment on it. You?
They're having fun.
Please.
Hey, guys.
Losers.
Yes, ma'am.
Freaking
Hi.
Losers.
I was just wondering, you probably don't remember this, because I barely do.
What's that?
You probably don't remember this, about 7 years ago, you sent me on a trip to Cancun because I went here in a fashion show.
I remember you, sure.
I'm ready for another one just to prove to everyone that I still look as good as I did then.
Really? And who was the celebrity you most resembled back then?
Darling.
People say Molly Ringwald, but I don't see it.
Yeah.
That's never a good sign.
Yeah, all right, okay, we'll get right on that.
Darling,
I look a lot better than her. I don't see that.
This is good news. She's finally ready for you to give her another prize. So let's put the wheels in motion.
Darling, you
stop manufacturing that meme, Miss Rob.
We will be playing strip trivia in this month of Rocktober for $2,500, our biggest strip trivia ever.
Wow.
And the one boob bigger than the other boob contest. We'll be starting up very soon as well.
I don't think I'll win that one.
Are yours both perfectly symmetrical?
They're perfectly symmetrical. 34D, both of them.
Oh.
Bye.
Thank you, baby. Bye. Goodbye to you. That reminds me of two things I saw on TV today. It's a weird... No. It involves boobs. It involves boobs, Buzz.
Okay.
It's the incredible double standard that morning television has than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
On today, Good Morning America. Good Morning America, the one that had Drunk Mel Gibson on, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they're doing one of their touching stories about a couple that had wanted to have a child, and they had had like 8,000 miscarriages, mm-hmm. and they found a surrogate mother.
Yeah, some tease that.
Okay. So they're showing the story, and they're showing this tender moment in the delivery room where the surrogate mother gives birth, and this is done with home video,
right.
and they say they give the baby to the mom. That's taken it, that didn't have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got her gown open. You can see her teats.
Mm.
I mean, you can see this on TV, and it's because she's being handed the baby, and she's bringing the baby to her breast, and you can see her bosoms on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought, all right, how progressive. Half hour later, same show.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a segment on dog safety and ticks on dogs.
Yes.
They're concerned, and they actually say at one point, they've got a vet on TV, and he says, well, what you want to do is look out for your dogs going out and getting stuff with other dogs. Like, this dog has a rash right here on its inner leg, and I don't know who it was, Diane Smith, whatever, said, hey, hold on, we can't show that on TV.
Uh-huh.
They're talking about a dog's genitals.
A male dog?
So someone explain to me how it's okay.
I don't get it.
In this world of double standards.
Well, if the mother that you saw earlier had been covered with fur, it wouldn't have been shown.
Thank you, Mike.
Wow. Yes, and if the dog had been completely smooth and had just been skin, you would have been able to see the dog's private area.
The reason the woman couldn't conceive, was it ticks?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Those pesky ticks. Hello there.
My wife is covered in ticks.
Are you there?
Why did we make love in the backyard?
Again.
Hello.
Hello?
Hi, there you are. You're on the air. Hi.
I'm Terry. How are you guys?
Hi, Terry. How are you?
I called because I was very upset when I heard people telling you that you were too mean, and I wanted you to know that I'm a mindless lemming.
Thank you.
And I love you guys.
What will you henceforth be referring to us as?
Don and Mike.
No. Wrong.
No.
We have new names.
What's your new name?
We're not called. It's Kim Jong-il names. It's our North Korean names.
I'm Don Il. Don Il.
And I'm Mike Jong-il.
John Hill?
You will refer to us as your dear leaders.
I can't say it.
Dear?
I've got Wang Chung.
Dear leaders.
She is mindless. I'll give her that.
She is.
She's a good
fearless leader.
She's a good leader.
Not fearless leader. Dear. She's a dear leader.
She's a good listener.
Dear leader.
She could be a leader among listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I could. I could lead the listeners.
Make her a lieutenant, Don. You have
all right.
Okay, your dear leaders have tired of you.
Huh. Okay.
Goodbye.
Fair enough.
She was eating something, I guess.
Yeah, got a good cell phone.
Yes. Back to our fan site.
Meanwhile.
Here we go. You know what? I'll call him out because the guy that started this thread is still on here. He says, everybody keeps saying to this guy, they're saying, come on, they asked you to call. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And then he writes back, man, these guys are whining a little too much. Pretty damn ironic they can dish it out, but they can't take it. Hey, coward, I tell you what, fat strat cat, who, you know, group gay gray goose, posts 521 since February of 2004. Listen, you know who we are. We don't know who you are. Call us up. We can dish it out. We can take it. Don't be a pussy. Don't hide behind the internet.
It sounds for me like you may be asking when, in fact, you should be telling. You have been summoned to our radio show by one of the dear leaders.
All right, I've figured out how they can handle this, and we don't even have to be involved.
Huh.
I leave it up to the moderators of that board. What they should do is immediately banish that guy.
That is a missive from dear leader.
Just banish him.
Banish him. Or we will turn off the electricity. You will no longer be able to use any of your computers. They will all be confiscated.
I don't give a rat's ass.
We will send you to the demilitarized zone.
We're small-minded. We're petty.
Right. And that is kimchi.
We don't got nothing going for us. You understand what I'm saying? We are the lowest fleas on the ass of CBS radio. We've got dick.
Nothing to lose.
If we can at least get serviced on our own fan site.
Amen, brother.
Then we turn off electricity. We send you back to Stone Ages.
The entire power grid will be shut down. You will no longer be able to communicate with your internet friends.
Tough guy, Mr. Tough Guy. See, they're whining about it a bit too much.
Yes.
Maybe they're a bit too sensitive.
This does not sound like whining to me.
Hello,
Trip this switch! Trip this switch!
John and Mike, hello.
Hey!
Hey!
You guys could you see your right nipple this morning when you were watching that?
Yeah, I'm telling you could see both of her boobs.
Wow.
Clear as, like she was doing a show.
Mm.
Yeah.
But later they wouldn't show a dog's wiener.
That's right. Weird. It is a double standard.
Yeah.
Why are dog private areas not, fair game? And I've been lobbying for that for years. I've wanted to see a lot more animal genitals.
But you have your video.
I got my large
donation.
Oh, that's right, the one I saw you last Christmas.
And don't forget, we had to have them transferred from Super 8 over to,
yep.
Originally from Super 8 to Beta, and then from Beta to VHS.
The black and white ones?
And from VHS to DVD.
And for that, dear leader number 2 says, thank you, John Norman.
Oh, and as long as you're talking about animals, I love my crush videos.
Oh, that was fun.
I love it, and Mike, when you put on the high heels,
it's the only way to do it.
And you step on those mice.
Yeah, and it's really not inhumane.
No.
It's
quick and easy.
Your best one is Goofy Gophers 18.
Mm-hmm. I keep that right next to my clown porn. That's manufactured meanness.
All right, we got a break. All we ask is undevoted love. Unrequired.
Unrequited would be like if you're in love with somebody and they don't love you at the end.
Right. No, what we want.
We want total devotion.
You know, come on. Let's look at, how did Rob's guy get it all going? Back in the 40s in Germany.
Oh, he was a wonderful speaker.
Well, Mike and I are wonderful speakers.
We're great orators, too.
You know,
we want nonstop devotion from our fans. And unquestioned loyalty.
On our fan site.
that doesn't work.
We shut down 50 switch and shut down power grid. That's right.
Oh.
And you get no more sex movies from the West. And we will cut off your entire supply of hairspray. And ladies' sunglasses.
The cheerleader likes to wear. And we strap you to front of malfunctioning nuclear device.
That's right. They don't work anyway. We send you into Pacific Ocean.
And then I get Big Mac.
Hold on. I saw on TV today.
He is,
you know,
funny.
They love doing the features about Kim Jong-il.
Oh, yeah. We
and
love
his
to watch
likes
him.
And dislikes.
Right.
He truly loves McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
And he enjoys sending his servants out to get him Big Macs. And the literal translation, they don't call it a Big Mac. It is called meat with bread.
Double what? Bread.
Meat with double bread.
Go get me meat with double bread and new pair of elevator shoes.
That's fine.
Ah, and then surround me with beautiful ladies.
Now, where's internet?
Oh, crush video clown porn.
And they go to fan site.
Things that make dear leader happy. Then we set off another firecracker and call it nuclear.
All right, let's break and consider these 20 minutes we'll never get back. And why don't all you people in class think about that?
Please do.
Think about
Give
it.
That a thought before you fire up your keyboard next time.
Thank you for enjoying this segment of Manufactured Meanness.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron Rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains? Yeah. Coach would have put me in fourth quarter. We'd have been state champions, no doubt. No doubt in my mind. You better believe things have been different. I'd have gone pro. I'd have a heartbeat. I'd be making millions of dollars and living in a big old mansion somewhere. You know, soaking it up in a hot tub with my soulmate. Kim, I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace. You ever come across anything like time travel?
That's easy. I've already looked into it for myself.
Oh. Right on. Right on.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right on.
A daily 4 hour salute to all you filthy sea bags.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
You effing C word.
Okay, final word on the on this message board for today. For me to you guys on our fan site, I really could pick any day that I want with something that pisses me off on the website
mm-hmm.
and bring it to your attention. Here's a good way of making our web presence known and,
of course.
And having some fun. Please understand that. You jerk-offs behind computer keyboards and monitors. I'm pulling the strings. You're not. Because now this guy's being attacked on the board. Everybody's writing to him saying, you have no balls. You're a pussy. Why don't you call the show? And he's writing, on the contrary, stupid Pepsi guy calls and gets destroyed. Smart, fat strat cat sits back and enjoys stirring up the S. So then the next person writes, because
I understand what you're saying. It sounds as though he's created.
So then, so then the next person writes to him.
That is a violation of dear leader's wishes.
You have no marbles if you don't call in and defend yourself. For Christ's sakes, be a man and take your medicine.
He's not to refer to private parts as marbles.
So now he writes, this other guy, now Fat Strat Cat writes, see now this S is funny. You guys can thank me later.
Like he's responsible.
Uh-huh.
That is violation.
The next person writes, I'm guessing that you're one of those kids in high school I used to pick on and everyone laugh at. Now you're a mouth-breathing Johnny that types on his computer from your mom's basement. People that don't get Donna Mike's humor when they're making fun of somebody are the same dorks that used to get picked on. In case you still get picked on because you are, we'll call him a bad name. Then he writes back, the guy who started the thread, hey, who's being a dick, douche? I made a comment that I didn't like the show. That's it. Don's the one who's amped this up, but you have to admit, it's more entertaining than the Pepsi guy. Even if just to hear Mike go off with his Korean accent and riffing.
I think the Pepsi guy was fun.
That was good stuff. Why the F would I want to call in and ruin it? Please, can I just tell you something, douche? You know what you are? You're the flea that I picked out today to fill 20 minutes on the radio show.
Bingo, baby.
That's it. Don't call, because you know you would be slaughtered if you called.
How is the dear leader thing going? Are they referring to us as dear leaders?
No,
yet?
They're still not doing
God
that.
God damn it,
they're
they will.
Not doing that. They're still not doing that.
But please don't
for 1 second think that you've got the power to sit there and think that you type something in the computer and that you're controlling the way the show goes today. Jesus Christ.
And to prove that, we are now going to sing. La 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 la.
Okay. Enough of that.
Oh God.
Anyway. Yeah. Thanks for helping. One of our junior producers out there. Thanks for helping today.
Yeah, making it sound like it was his idea.
And I was reading earlier in the thread that someone wrote, "Why don't you call in?" And he writes, "Because they will destroy me like the Pepsi guy."
Right.
Right. Because if you're so freaking smart, you'll be able to stay on the field with us one-on-one.
Your rapier with to us.
But never mind. You were just something that I ate and will come out in my BM later tonight. And that is the honest-to-God truth. Don't ever.
And we'll have pictures on our website.
That's right.
Don't ever think you run things around here.
Right.
We run it.
Remember who run Bartertown.
We pull the strings, okay?
Very important.
You're the marionette. We're pulling the strings.
You got it.
Got it? Right. Good. Now, let's find them, F them, feel them, and forget them. The four F's, as we used to say back in high school.
Rubber balls and liquor.
My good friend, Mike. My buddy, Mike.
Hey, ye.
We had been discussing over the last couple of weeks Mike's ongoing struggle to
shed the pounds, Don. Hi,
yeah,
Mike.
Because Mike.
And it comes at a very timely moment. You know, what with the big loser being on last
Mike,
night?
Mike got a great start earlier this summer. Really was knocking off the pounds, and they were coming back. And Mike announced last week that he was getting back in the routine.
And I kind of lost my way.
Yeah.
And I talked about that yesterday.
You did.
You saw me, I believe, Tuesday.
Eating
candy liberally.
While you were talking to your girlfriend on the phone about what low-cal meal she was going to make you do.
Now, as I told you, and I can't lie to her, about food, I can't lie to her. It's very, very difficult. And I really can't lie well. I've never been, as you know, I've never been a very good liar. I'm not good at it. And so I'm not able to lie to her about the food. And he winks at me like, that's funny. You make me laugh. You make me laugh. Funny time. But the fact is, I can't.
You're not a good liar.
I'm not a good liar to her. I'm a good liar
to her.
I'm a good liar to management.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I was eating candy, and so I told her. And then you didn't give me a lecture, but you were pointing out, you were spotlighting the fact that I was eating candy after you talked about the fact that you'd gotten down to 200 pounds.
No. The thing is, when you announced last week that you were getting back in the regime.
That I was going to turn it on again.
Both,
I was going to go for it again.
Both Buzz and I kind of went, and then you said, hey, why are you guys busting my
balls? Before we start, if I may give myself a little credit here.
Please do.
All of you know that I have in the past demonstrated an ability to occasionally.
Didn't I preface that by saying?
Straighten up and fly right.
Didn't I preface it by saying that this summer you had taken off an S-load of pounds?
And I'm certainly not back where I was, but I have gained, and I need to get back on the stick, because when I lost that chunk of weight, I was about halfway there. I needed to lose about another 40 pounds to get to where I was. Well, now that 40 pounds is more like 50 or 60 pounds to get to where I want to be. And I certainly didn't do what I said last week, because, as you know, coming in last night, I'm sorry, coming in this week, on Tuesday, I was eating candy candy, you know, that Joe brings. But, Joe, you know, when you're holding the candy up, that's nothing but me just, you know, testing my willpower. And I'm not going to, you know, I think the worst thing I could do was say, hey, Joe, don't bring that around or don't have candy here. Because, first of all, Joe's not fat, and Joe likes to have his candy and his snacks. And so that's fine. At one point I said to Joe, go out, here's some money, go buy some candy, because I was eating it every day. And that's how I really, if I look at it, I did it with, remember Buzz at the old place when we had the almonds?
Right.
I did it with the almonds at the old place, and I was doing it with candy here.
Mm-hmm.
The snacks between meals are what have thrown me off track.
So Mike comes in today and says,
I said, listen, I remember what you said yesterday.
Got it out of my system.
I said, I really felt that because of the, you know, what I had done before, I had to get it out of my system, and Lord knows I got it out of my system last night.
What did you have to eat last night?
Well, here's the problem. Carla normally is home, and you know, she is wonderful about putting together like a little Weight Watchers food products,
right.
That not that they're in a box or anything. She makes real food,
right.
But they're all point friendly.
The point
I'm on
system.
Weight Watchers Flex Points. That's what I
gotcha.
Do. And you know, she'll say, "How many points did you have today?" And I said, I had this," and we add them up. And then she's got a dinner that she normally eats before I do because she wants to eat earlier. And then I've got like this perfect little piece of chicken and some rice and low, you know, low fat bread, and it's all there. It's light bread and everything's like perfect, and it's really good.
She's very good.
Well, Carla was getting her hair done last night, and she could only get a late appointment, so she wasn't around. So I had already planned to go home and fend for myself, and that's not really, I'm not telling the truth, or it's time to be honest now. Mike, stop it. Hold on, let me gather myself for a second. I just want to take a deep breath. This is not a Hispanic effect, but this is something where I really, seriously want to tell the truth. About 5 o'clock yesterday on the show, when I determined that Carla was not going to be at home, I began to think about food. I began to think about perhaps one last great cheat. Then after I got in my car, I think it was right after I got in my car, Carla had called me and said, "Hey, listen, why don't we go up to the restaurant?"
You probably want to know.
Yes. What?
Is this really your last great cheat, do you think?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
It's like an alcoholic. You don't say,
okay.
You do it one day at a time.
Right.
Isn't that right?
You know what?
I can't look at you and go, oh, absolutely, because I know there might be a cheat. There might be
you're
a cheat
great.
As soon as this weekend.
You're
it's
great
fall
because you're honest about this. You're
but,
great because you're honest about it.
But also, I will tell you that by trying to fly on the straight and narrow as often as I can, that has a good effect, too. And I think the most important thing is to work out. Now, I'm getting that. This does have a bit of a happy ending, a very recent
all
happy
right.
ending. All right, so 5 o'clock, I'm psyching myself up. Subconsciously, I'm psyching myself up in the back of my mind. I go, okay, she's not going to be there. You know, Don was talking about the candy and stuff. I said, okay, got one night. We're just going to just blow it out. We're going to have some fun. And I started thinking about eating. I hadn't determined anything. I didn't know where I was going to go. Now, when I'm on my commute home, it takes me by so many neat places. You know, every type of food one could imagine. You know, this is America. You can go anywhere, you know.
Right.
So I get in the car, phone rings.
Okay.
It's Carla. She's like, "Hey, listen, why don't we have dinner at the restaurant tonight?" I'm like, "Oh." Now normally I would love to do that, but if I go to the restaurant,
she'll make you eat something healthy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can't. And I just. So I said, "Yeah, okay, that'll be fine." And I'm crestfallen. I'm just in the car driving along, going, you know, not because I don't want to have dinner with Carla, but because I know that I'm going to have to eat something, you know, small,
vegetable,
portion controlled,
right.
Without any butter or fat anywhere near it,
but still delicious.
Exactly, Rob.
That's right.
So,
look around cafe.
She calls me and it says, "Call me when you get 5 minutes from the restaurant." So I call her 5 minutes. She goes, "Oh, I'm not going to be there for like another 30 minutes. I'm like, so this is when I go into my little stage play. So, oh, 30 minutes. I am just wiped out. I am exhausted.
What?
I just don't want to wait that long. And really, can't we just say, let's just do it another time?" So, yeah, fine. No problem at all.
Ah.
Click. I hang up and then it's on. It is on.
Yeah.
By this time, I'm coming into fast food land. And I got all the big ones, okay, except for Popeye's. Well, I actually did have Popeyes, but that's an addition to the story. I'm not near Popeyes. I'm coming up near Burger King, and I go by the McDonald's, and the McDonald's is on my right.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? No. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to stop at the McDonald's.
Good for you.
And I was proud of myself, and I said, but I'm still starving. And at this point, my body and my mind are going through this big battle. And right after I pass by the McDonald's, what's there on the right? Simply, in my humble opinion, the greatest burger joint in our area right around here. It's a place where I've chatted with the vice president.
Nationwide chain, Mike.
A place called Checkers.
Oh, they're a big NASCAR sponsor. Lots of people know Checkers.
Well, I got the NASCAR. I got the number one at Checkers. Now, for those of you that have been to Checkers, the number one is two slices of bread and three. Count them. 1, 2, 3. All beef patties. It is the triple champ. I think it's called the NASCAR. I really have not been in months. In all, over a year, I have not been to Checkers.
Any fries with that?
That might be lying.
Would you like fries with that?
I had the number one included a large order of fries,
of course.
An incredible, like, bucket of soft drink, just this amazing amount of fluid.
Now, at this
with,
point,
with NASCAR pictures all over it.
This is not totally falling off the wagon. I mean,
no, I don't. I agree. It's really I'm having a bad dinner is what I'm having. I'm having a bad dinner.
Right.
But, you know, the champ. And can I compliment the people at Checkers on this? Your Whopper, you can't eat in the car on the way home. You
right.
can't really eat that. I was able to polish off this triple champ number one at Checkers. I was able to polish the whole thing off without getting anything on me. Not even that ketchup, not anything. It was wonderful. Yeah, I got a Diet Soda. I got a Diet Coke, too. And ate the fries first. You know, was in still kind of bumper-to-bumper traffic. Horrible traffic night last night. And was able to polish the whole thing off by the time I got home. Now, this is the one part I didn't tell you. In between Checkers and getting home, I did not go directly home.
What?
I took a right-hand turn.
Yes.
Because I flirted very briefly, and my willpower took over here. I flirted very briefly, and I drove down as far as the Popeyes. And I drove to the Popeyes, and I was going to turn in, but the turn where the light was,
yeah.
I would have had to really go almost down a do not enter street to get there.
That was the hand of God.
And that was, I thought, really, I believe that was God looking down and saying, no, pig, don't do that.
All right, so you didn't go to Popeye's.
Went home after that. And then at home, Charlotte's not back yet. At that point, I had a trauma that was involving the dog. The dog had pooped in the middle of the kitchen. And I had to clean that, and there was dog pee and poop all over the place.
Oh, that'll work up an appetite.
I was exhausted and still very hungry.
Sure.
Once I got done with that. And my night concluded with a four-pack of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, two packages of small Keebler Fudge Stripe cookies, and a large Kit Kat package.
Good thing you had the Diet Coke.
The kind that you get at Costco. Oh, yeah. And that was it. And then I just really, shortly thereafter, I passed out.
Sure.
I didn't really pass out. I cleaned up all the evidence. I took my Checkers bag, threw it in the garage. I got a trash barrel in the garage, and I took all the crumbs from the fudge stripe cookies that were on my stomach, and I scraped them into the trash barrel that I have up in my bedroom, because I ate the Reese's peanut butter cup.
Trash barrel.
It's a 30-gallon drum.
You know what
it's a garbage bag. It's a trash container.
Vagabonds standing around like by the Inner Harbor with fire in them.
Yes. Well, let's say, you know, they actually reach up to the second floor with the little prongs on it and lift it out the window. No. And I got rid of all the evidence, and then I fessed up this morning. Now, this morning I got up. I've had my six-point breakfast, which is egg beaters, a light English muffin, and that's what I ate for. And then I had my Subway sub for lunch.
How many points in all the stuff you ate yesterday?
Oh my God! If I added it up, that I would have been like on top of a building.
Million.
It was seriously. No, the Checkers thing alone is just a monumental amount of calories and fat grams, and you know, just amazing. But today, not only did I do that, but shortly before I came to work, I exercised for 5 minutes. I exercised for about a half an hour on the old elliptical, burned well over 400 calories, and felt pretty good. Got a good sweat going, and I plan on eating very well because I'm going straight home to where there will be the Weight Watchers friendly dinner tonight.
Your old portion.
But I should mention to everyone, this is Thursday. There's one more day in the week.
Yes.
One more day in the work week. And, you know, Friday's get your eat on night. So who knows what's going to happen.
I think you're going to be okay tonight because from what I hear, there's probably not much food left at your house.
There's not. Actually, I killed the real temptations that I have in my
good
house.
Good for you.
I killed I ate the last Kit Kat and the last Reese's Peanut Butter Cup,
there
which comes in the, you know, in the four pack, you know, because really when you know, this is for even a fat person.
Okay.
And everybody knows I'm a fat person. That four pack of Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody can really enjoy thoroughly three of them. When you're eating the fourth one, you're eating the fourth one. Just it's almost a recreational activity.
Too much.
That's, it's really not necessary.
That's one of the marks.
Not necessary to eat the fourth one. But I ate the fourth one and then moved on to the fudge stripe cookies. Now, when I say fudge stripe cookies, I'm talking about quarter size little mini fudge stripes that are in snack pack, and those I steal from my children. When they, I'll throw that in their lunch occasionally, and so they'll have carrots next year.
But you didn't go to the ultimate fat guy level, which I enjoy often, which is the combination cookies and ice cream.
Well, no, I didn't because I had Kirkland ice cream, and I love Costco. Nobody loves it more than
Kirkland
I do.
Is good.
No, No, it is not.
Vanilla ice cream
no,
is very good.
No, it is not. That is one area where I do not subscribe to the Costco product.
Wow. Bring it
I
in.
Am not a fan.
Bring it in. I'll eat it.
Well, it's also got some protective ice on it.
Oh, so, then it's old.
So that's it's a little bit old.
All right, so you are.
But I woke up today feeling wonderful.
You are back on the stick.
Yes, I am back on the and I
right
yes, and I woke up in the middle of the night and I may have been no, I may have been awakened by the smell of my own fart. Seriously.
Seriously. Why?
No, I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought the dog had pooped on the floor, but it was actually me.
Damn those fudge stripe cookies.
Yeah. It was so. So that was the end. And then I woke up today feeling wonderful. I feel 10 years younger. I really do. It was the fourth peanut butter cup. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I ate a Pepsi before I went to bed.
Good for you.
Yeah. There you go.
So I'm watching my health. I ate a Pepsi.
There you go.
You know, because really, otherwise, it would just be, that would be 3 o'clock in the morning where I just go where a burp becomes like this river of lava coming up your esophagus.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What about Saturday and Sunday, eating on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, I think with Mike, isn't it one day at a time? Aren't you trying to get through Friday
one
first?
One day at a time? I'm going to say I got to get through Friday first. You know, got a nice little weekend planned, and we're going to see what happens. And I think I'm going to really try to make an effort on the weekend, and I will be completely honest about it. I'll tell you whether I screw up or not. If I do well this weekend, I'll tell you. And because really, frankly, I'm at that stage now where I, you know, if I gain any more weight, I'm going to have trouble fitting into my thin clothes that I bought after I lost the weight. Yes, so it's a wardrobe
issue.
Your
show clothes.
Yeah, like, you know, at your little shindig for your grandfather the other day.
Yeah.
You'll notice the jacket was opened for the entire service. At no time was that sport jacket closed.
Yeah.
All right? It could have been. It could have been. But if I go any further, that I simply would not even be able to attempt to close it.
God, I've been there. Because then all of a sudden, that one scene is in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Fat guy and
little suit,
little jacket,
it's fat guy and a little coat.
Fat guy and little coat.
And man, I mean, I can't. I'm not going through that again.
All right,
that's actually my number one motivating factor is I just don't want to deal with that clothing thing again.
Right.
I got a lot of pants that I had just bought before I started the eat-a-thon again. And I'm not doing that again, man.
Oh, we're with you, Mike.
Yeah, because I mean, really, most of my pants now are.
Well, if it happens,
jeans are cool. The jeans are cool. I haven't moved into the fat man jeans yet. I'm in the fat man.
You
jeans.
Haven't moved into the elastic jeans yet.
I've never gotten there, mate. I've never gotten there.
Like
God.
The pregnant lady jeans, that big fat
maternity man. Jeans.
When you switch to the Panette 501,
lovely. You start with a basic pair of 501, and then it's a cloth front. It stretches.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
So forgiving.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Did you ever suck the peanut butter cup?
I did it last night.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Where's
show?
The Kit Kat, Carla?
Hello, Don and Mike. Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
How's it going?
Oh, I'm feeling good.
I got a question for Mike. I just wondered if he actually vacuumed out his belly button when he was done with the cookie.
Can it please be devoted leader?
Dear leader number two.
Dear leader number two.
If you have a question for me, refer to me as dear leader number two. And no, I did not. I actually showered today, but I would guarantee you that there was some evidence in my belly button when I went to sleep.
Were you eating shirtless?
No, I was not.
Well, then how?
Maybe I'm lying for the first time. No, I'm not. No.
Hold on.
No, I did not take my shirt off. I had the same shirt that had just a tiny ketchup stain from the crackers.
Then how could crumbs get in your belly button?
I'm kidding. I didn't have any crumbs in my belly button.
Oh, okay.
I didn't eat anything after my shirt was off.
You really weren't eating shirtless?
No, I don't think so. I've done it before. Many times. I can't eat shirtless.
I can't.
I cannot eat shirtless because I've got this. I got a hairy chest.
You're onto something then.
What's that?
Just go shirtless.
That's a good idea.
You won't eat?
Hello, Don.
At Christmas parties, that'll be a drag.
And there's a dress code at your restaurant.
Hello.
Oh.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi. I guess Mike was thirsty. I saw him on the side of the road drinking out of a fire hydrant.
Ass.
There you go. Come on now.
Please.
And if you're going to make a joke like that, refer to me as Dear Leader, too.
Hello, Don. Mike.
Mike.
Yeah.
Chocolate and peanut butter is the best marriage ever. You have nothing to be ashamed about.
Thank you. Now, see, finally, a call of support. Respect for Dear Leader, too, that he should get.
It's the best.
Oh, now you're referring to yourself as a third person. Okay to you.
Dear Leader will eat all the Kit Kats he wishes and all the fudge stripe cookies after his champ burger.
And chocolate and peanut butter is really only the second best marriage. after mine.
Oh, yes, and we'd be remiss if we didn't say that it was 10 years ago today.
Believe it or not.
That Rudy Martsky watched television on a,
really?
On a little portable TV that looked like a beer can.
Yep.
During Rob's reception, 10 years ago today, Rob and Carrie were married.
Yeah. Can we go by 1 week without a tragedy in my household?
That is wonderful.
First, my grandfather passes.
And now you're
then it's the 10th wedding anniversary. Oh, God knows what's next.
When does what is the color for that one?
Black and blue.
Happy day.
You mean the traditional gift?
Yeah.
It's arsenic.
In pumpkin pie.
That's right.
Okay, we got to... Yeah, but she's good.
We got to... Thanks for the ringing endorsement.
You're romantic.
We have we got a break, and when we come back, these Mel Gibson tapes from Good Morning America.
Everybody's saying he didn't show a lot of remorse. I haven't heard him yet.
No, he's a bit blasé.
And at one point, he's talking about how I felt really bad when I had to go tell my kids what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so stupid to say this. He said, I had to go home and take a couple of quick pops to get my courage up to talk to my kids.
I can't wait. Good start.
It's pretty good. And pretty
way to go,
stupid.
Mel.
And you know her, Diane Sawyer, they might as well have sent Ann Curry to do the interview. She asks nothing pushing, nothing provocative.
Mel Gibson, no self-control.
What an ass.
No willpower.
What an ass.
God, man, I can't relate to that.
Mike, but here's the thing. You don't eat at Checkers and have Reese's and start saying that Jews start all the wars in the world.
No, I...
You say that before you start eating.
Absolutely, before I get the crumbs of my navel.
Okay, we'll hear the Mel tapes.
All right.
All right, right after this.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike.
Oh, look out!
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me? I want to wrestle you so freaking bad. I'd let you in just so I could feel you on top of me.
Oh, look out!
I'll make it feel really good for you, huh?
Oh, look out!
I'll just be your secret lover. I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
You're a goddamn genius!
Get ready for some hot fun. This Wednesday, the Don and Mike Reno-style show returns to Hooters of Rockville. 1471 Rockville Drive. Hot fun. Come enjoy the scenery as you feast your eyes on the tempting, youthful, voluptuous figure of the entire Don and Mike crew. Delicious Don. Mouth-watering Mike. Audacious Bud. Red Hot Rock. And John and Joe. Your joy boy. The fun starts at 8 p.m. So come out and revel in their sexiness. Oh, yeah, and the Hooters girls are pretty, too. Don and Mike at Hooters of Rockville. We'll see you there, baby. Buzz Burbank is certified clean. Medical documentation on file. Thank you.
And Buzz? Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
The Don and Mike Show.
For you, my friend.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
For you all, hon.
98% effective against chiggers and ticks. The Don and Mike Show.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
All right, this is Robert the Mailman.
We expect all Hooters girls to fawn over dear leader.
Big party next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Hooters of Rockville, see you there. Information on our website. See you next Wednesday. Don't cost nothing to get in. Tomorrow on the show, we will have the 65-year-old pump from Wisconsin who's running for a state office seat.
Yeah, baby.
Strictly on the fact, she's running on the platform that she had sex with Paul Hornung when he was the Green Bay Packers' golden boy.
And isn't that just a pure platform? I think that's what all politicians should run on,
right.
Who they've done.
That's what Theismann's going to run on.
Exactly.
It's the same platform Foley ran on.
So we will have her on the show tomorrow.
Good.
Diane Sawyer this morning on Good Morning America started this hard-hitting interview. Or I guess it started yesterday. They're releasing it in little bits and pieces.
Today was the first part. Tomorrow they'll talk more about the Jew part.
Okay, tomorrow they'll talk more about the Jew part.
As Rob likes to call it.
Here now is,
thank you, Rob.
Here's your incredibly sappy setup.
Well, let's get right to it because it is... unusual that this morning an actor and movie director finds himself front and center after an explosive public drama.
Okay, we've all heard about that, blah, blah, blah.
Explosive public drama. Go.
July 28th.
Yes.
Yeah, now listen, important to note, this is the first interview he's done. It's obvious that his people said,
you can't go to Larry King. He's too much of a softball.
Right.
You don't want Barbara Walters. She might ask you.
She'll dice you. She'll chop you up.
She's got the whole, you know, she'll get on you right away about the Jew thing.
Sure,
there's no way
will,
that Barbara
right.
Walters won't get her teeth in that.
Find me a wasp.
Katie Couric, you couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Even Matt Lauer might be too rough
on
her.
No, he's got something to prove.
So you go down the list and you think, hey, hold on a second. Holy. Diane Sawyer.
Remember when she let Michael Jackson off the hook?
That's right.
Let's go to her.
So not only listen to Diane Sawyer.
And I think she knows that, too, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's lost on her.
I think
she's been doing it long enough. She knows that she gets
knows
the interviews.
She knows that's how she gets them.
Exactly.
Right. So they do it right. His people do it right. They get up with the worst interviewer in the world.
Right.
Listen to Mel Gibson's blasé, laissez-faire attitude.
That's what I've heard. That's the way I've heard that he is. He's not convincing.
You know, you're contrite. You say, Jesus Christ, I screwed up. It looked to me watching this thing, and you'll hear the clips, he could have been promoting a brand new movie. This is how, I don't want to say low energy, but uncontrite he was. His body language was that he was...
Somebody said, I heard an observation, said they needed a better actor to play Mel Gibson.
He leaned back at the table. He did an awful lot of smiling,
mm-hmm.
an awful lot of goofing around. So listen to just the first part of this and listen to the tone of his voice.
July 28th.
Yes, a day to remember.
How did that day start?
Much like any other day, I went to work, you know, saw a bunch of people, had a screening, met with a friend of mine. He screened his film for me.
And then what?
Well, of course, I guess I must have been a little overwrought. So, and that's what happens. Too much pressure, too much work. You do things that go against good judgment.
Wow.
He's starting it.
Victim of circumstance.
That's it. A few drinks later and I was in the back of a police car wailing, so...
Oh,
a few drinks later,
tiny.
Do you know how many?
No, I don't. But I know it was tequila.
How long had you been drinking again?
A couple months. Years go by, you're fine. And then all of a sudden, in a heartbeat, in an instant, on an impulse, somebody shoves a glass of mezcal in front of your nose and says, it's from Oaxaca. And you go, wah! And it's burning its way through your esophagus, and you go, oh man, what did I do that for? Can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Were you drinking from the open bottle of...
Okay, now, first you get...
I understand why people are reacting the way they are.
First you get...
It sounds flipped.
You get, woe is me, I was under a lot of pressure making a movie. And then it's like, you can't put toothpaste back in the tube, babe.
You know what? And what it is, you know what the problem is? This is the guy. You're getting the real deal, because that's the way he is. I've heard him interviewed before. He's being the way he is, and I think to be any other way... That might be even more transparent.
Here's more of it.
Tequila in the car?
I had a couple of slugs, yeah.
I mean, how blasé. Here's the next cut.
Sounds a lot like his Lethal Weapon character.
She doesn't it? It really does.
Wow. She does bring up the Jew thing. Here we go.
Oops. And then, as the officer arrested him, a tirade against Jews.
Take me back to that moment as you remember it, then. Officer James Meek.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know him? Did you know he was Jewish?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. I find out later. But that's, you know, all...
Why would you have asked him that?
I don't know. I didn't know if he was or wasn't. I mean, I said horrible things to him. And he was pretty patient.
These are the words.
Mm-hmm.
How horrible does he think they were? Yeah. I read to him the officer's account of the words he used that night. Expletive Jews. And to Officer Me, are you a Jew? And
the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Are those anti-Semitic words?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Sounds horrible.
I mean, do you hear this? It's like, it's almost like someone saying, hey, did you see that play in the game last night?
It sounds like he's not attaching himself to it.
Right.
He's
right.
Detaching not himself accepting. From it. And he's got some work to do, or he's got to get some people around him mm-hmm. that help him, handle this
here's
thing, because right now it doesn't sound convincing.
Here's an excerpt you're going to love about Tonda's kids. This is where he talks about he's got to have a drink.
Oh. The first time Gibson was arrested drunk was 1984 after rear-ending a car. He entered AA in 1991. But he has talked about his suicidal despair at relapsing. His family has had to endure it all. And this time, the added horror of watching the news about the bigoted words.
Oh, I just went home, and some of my kids were there. You know, I talked to them for a little bit. And it was a little rough that morning. So I chased it down with a few cold ones, you know.
Wow.
Smart.
Whoa.
Real smart.
Wow.
Real, wow. Real smart.
I'm on my second beer.
Hey, stop it.
Hold on a second. He got back from the police station?
Yes, and he had to tell his kids about it, so he had to pour back a couple.
For the courage. Right?
Jesus.
I agree.
Is there any way someone is advising him to do this?
I don't know, man.
No.
In the full knowledge.
That morning.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of unbearable to face. So it was...
Now, at that point, if you're doing the interview, don't you stop him and say, hold on a sec. Just what Mike said. You just got popped for DUI. You have to tell your family, and you're drinking before you have to tell them?
Well, here's... You know what it also tells me? Really? What it really tells me? I mean, God Almighty, the guy does have a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, take Jesus, to knock a few back before... After you've gone through that, I would assume you're sober at the time. And you're not, boy, that's amazing.
Even if you do that, you don't go on TV when you're on with this.
I sure wouldn't talk about that.
Throw that out there.
Something I said, well, this is it. This will be the end of it, but I just have to get through this morning, you know.
But wait a minute, you talked to your kids while you were slugging down more to get through it?
You're not operating well, but you know you have to do something.
All right, and then here's
he's being honest.
Here's the obligatory. It's really a blessing.
Oh,
you love this. This is almost like when they were saying over and over yesterday. You know, the plane crash puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Here's another real trite cliche that's used too much. Oh, it's a blessing in disguise.
Look, this whole experience, in a way, for me, I'm sort of viewing it now as a kind of a blessing.
Yeah, right. Best thing that's ever happened to you, Mel. Your box office boffo now. Spielberg cannot wait to work with you.
A blessing might have been severing his index finger and saying, hey, I did that while I was drunk. Maybe I should get into rehab.
Because
a blessing?
Yeah. Well, firstly, I got stopped before I did any real damage to anyone else. Thank God for that. I didn't hurt myself. You know, I didn't leave my kids fatherless. That's good. That's a blessing, okay?
That's good. Let's not think about the innocent people you might have killed.
No.
It's a good thing that Mel's still here. That's the first thing. Good thing Mel is still here.
Wow. Amen.
The other thing is, sometimes you need a cold bucket of water in the face to sort of snap to.
That's all this is?
Because you're dealing with a sort of a malady of the soul, an obsession of the mind, and a physical allergy. And some people need a big tap on the shoulder. In my case, public humiliation on a global scale.
See, he's even flip about that. It's like public humiliation on a global scale.
Yeah, he's detached from it. I think
to be what was required.
Humiliation for him, outrage from others, and a lot of questions about alcohol revealing who you really are.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hear one more. We got time for one more before we go to Buzz.
People say alcohol. Mm-hmm. Just liberates you to say what you really feel. It's what you really feel. It's not changing.
Well, that's patently false.
Wow. I agree with him. I do. I agree with him about that. We've never discussed that, but I also think I've heard so many people say, oh, man, it's what you feel in your soul. I don't know what's in Mel Gibson's soul, but I will tell you from personal experience, when you get absolutely faced, when you get absolutely loaded, and I've done this. I've probably done this to people in this room. You say things... You find things in your mind. This is what I've done personally. You find something that you can say that will be, at the time, especially if it's in an argument situation, something as hurtful as it possibly can be.
Yeah.
And you will say it to be hurtful, to say the meanest possible
but
thing you can say.
But he didn't know, according to him.
But to some of the stuff he said, I don't defend what he said.
He didn't know the cop was a Jew.
Right. He's just rambling. Now, that's a different thing.
Yeah,
but I will tell you that, you know, on a one-on-one basis, when when people say, you know, everything that comes out of your mouth when you've been drinking, I'm not sure I buy that.
He was not that based. If you go by
exactly.
what they said, he was
you're right.
0.12.
Now, what I'm making the case for is everybody that's talking about in general, when you're under the influence, you're going to say
like
something
truth
that
serum, right.
It's like that. I don't necessarily agree with that. However, his ramblings went, you know, in another direction where it wasn't all directed right at the cop, right?
It was more like a grand scheme.
I hate Jews. It was Jews are the reason for every war in the world.
Right.
Effing Jews.
So she goes through this with him, and then here's the closing that she has. Brilliant journalist.
So he admits they were bigoted statements. Mm-hmm. He admits that they were in him. Tomorrow we debate where they came from, and every viewer will decide for themselves how they feel about his answers. Eager to hear his answers.
If he,
why
if...
do they pussyfoot around this? You know, why if you're an anchor on this show, why is it so hard for one of these anchors to say, the guy made anti-Semitic comments, he's got a problem. I mean, why do we have to dance around like this? Oh, I'm looking forward to hear what he has to say tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know what they're going to do tomorrow. It's going to be
tomorrow.
You know, I would imagine the interview is going to go the exact same way when they really ought to explore. Because, you know, the fact is, if this guy didn't have a track record, if this guy didn't have the track record that he does with his father, with Passion of the Christ, with everything that's gone along with this, you know, who knows how they're going to do this
The first
tomorrow.
Time Gibson was arrested drunk was 1984 after rear-ending a car. He entered AA in 1991.
No one likes a quitter.
But he has talked about his suicidal despair at relapsing. His family has had to endure it all. And this time, the added horror of watching the news about the bigoted words.
Oh, I just went home, and some of my kids were there. And, you know, I talked to them for a little bit. And it was a little rough that morning. So I chased it down with a few cold ones, you know.
Do you know when they say, when they talk about...
Stupid!
He is. He is not getting good advice. When they talk about it being truth serum, though, I think in many cases it can be lying serum. Do you remember the guy that came to our appearance that was saying he was Irish?
The guy with the accent.
Remember that? That type of crap. I mean, I've seen that a lot. I really have. It's interesting. But this guy, I think you're going to be probably more angry tomorrow when you hear what he has to say, because he really is treating it like... I feel like I'm listening to somebody talk about another person.
And you should watch the body language. The body language is sitting back in the big fluffy chair, and like he's being interviewed, like he's doing PR.
I think the ego, it sounds to me like the ego might be such that he is saying, hey, I don't need any help. I don't need any advice. I'll handle this on my own. And the shocking part, popped open, got back from the police department and popped open a couple of cold ones.
Yeah, because he had to tell the kids.
Wow.
Had to tell the kids.
Jesus.
By the way, the police are investigating now in California, are investigating the officer who arrested Mel Gibson for that drunk driving charge.
Why?
They've confiscated his computer. They think he's the source of leaks from the police department, including the 4-page police report on Mel's arrest.
Well, T.S., he should be able to, right? No,
apparently not.
No way.
They're investigating.
I don't think so. I mean,
listen, if I was a Jewish cop, and Mel Gibson pulled me over and started spouting off about I hate the Jews, I'd call up somebody and I'd say, hey, guess what? I can't tell you this, but I just arrested Mel Gibson.
I just don't know whether
he hates all the Jews.
I'm just talking on this purely legal level, whether that's legal for a cop to do that.
They got a search warrant.
Like
a judge thinks so.
Really? A judge thinks there's a problem?
I think so. He gave him a warrant.
Yeah. Well, like cops follow the rules all the time anyway, so you know what I mean.
Come on.
I watch Law and Order. I see what's going on, you know. It's always, hey, we got to have a warrant. Do you have a fingerprint? Not really. And then I always go wake up a judge in the middle of the night and says, well,
hey, this one better not backfire, McCoy.
That's right. They only break the rules if Jerry Lewis is their uncle.
And that's Richard Belzer.
Yes. It's my uncle, Buzz.
Yes.
Excuse me, Bob.
Yes.
Bob, you've got news of the day, don't you?
Indeed, I do.
We'll be right back with you.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They want to sing. La la, la 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 la. The Don and Mike Show.
La 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 la. You got it for me, Head. Thank you, Don. It's time for Bob's Look at the World.
Hey!
Bob is brought to you tonight by eDiamonds.com. Find a little brilliance with a pair of diamond stud earrings from eDiamonds.com. That's www.e-diamonds.com. Or simply call 1-800 for love. And now here he is, Bob Gleason. Hi, BG.
Yay! Hi, Donna Mike. When a former page saw Congressman Mark Foley pat another male page on the butt on the floor of the House of Representatives, he thought maybe that's just how they do things in Washington.
Are you thinking you might want to have sex with me?
Quoting this former page who's now come forward, I wasn't sure if it was a social norm I wasn't accustomed to.
Page.
That's why he says he didn't report what he says he saw in 2001. quoting former page Richard Nguyen, I mean, you see athletes patting each other's asses all the time.
Oh, dear.
Sure. So it's perfectly normal to see a congressman doing that to a page.
Yes, right there where laws are made in the same chamber where each president delivers his State of the Union speeches, congressional grab ass in the back of the room.
I bet it was gentler.
Congressional pages are high school juniors who live in a dorm near Capitol Hill.
Golly, this was fun.
There's also a report being investigated that Congressman Foley tried to get into that dorm after hours.
Oh, dear.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. That's like something your mother would say.
I know. I've been saying it a lot.
Oh, dear.
Mercy.
Oh, dear.
President Bush knows that a lot of us don't think he's very bright. He even said so yesterday. In fact, the president used that perception to explain his use of the phrase cut and run.
He's mentally retarded.
In describing the Democrats' plan to withdraw from Iraq.
Thank you!
Reporters were trying to get the president to admit it's a manipulative political buzz phrase. No, he said, it's his limited vocabulary. Here's the quote. Well, they may not use cut and run, but they say date certain as to get out before the job is done. And maybe their words are more sophisticated than mine, but when you pull out before the job is done, that's cut and run as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, pull out.
As far as most Americans are concerned.
Yeah, come on, dummies, join with me.
End quote. Which leaves us with the same problem we had with Jessica Simpson. Dumb? Yes. Or just playing dumb.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Did you see Jon Stewart on Letterman last night?
No, I have not seen that yet.
Okay. Jon Stewart brought up a point. He was goofing around.
Right.
But it made me stop and think for a second. He was talking about how stupid Bush is, about how Bush never answers a question by just, like, repeating obvious things.
Right.
And then...
And by the time he gets to it, it's gone anyway.
And Jon Stewart said, you know, that's actually very smart of Bush, and he might be smarter than we're giving him credit for, because by coming out and never answering a question or saying, like, what about the Speaker of the House? What about Dennis Hazard?
Right.
What about him? First thing he says, lifelong friend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Good, strong Republican. Been in the House for 10... It's like, doesn't answer the question.
Exactly.
And he gets by. Jon Stewart made sense. Bush now gets by because people accept the stupidity.
Sure, and he doesn't have to answer the question.
Except, what if he's not that stupid?
What if? What if it's manipulative?
And what if it's like Jon Stewart said, we're the stupid ones.
Yeah.
What if we're the stupid ones?
A distinct possibility.
Could Bush be that smart?
Stupid as a fox? Stupid as a fox, Don.
Crazy as a fox.
It's crazy as a fox, but I'm going to say stupid as a fox.
Meanwhile,
stupid as a fox, and it might just work. Dude, that would be a Bushism.
Yes.
He would say stupid as a fox when he knows.
I bet that's what he says behind closed doors.
Laura, I am stupid as a fox. They think I'm stupid, but I'm just not answering the question.
It's my strategy.
And meanwhile, he continues to talk like a classic rock DJ in four-word phrases.
Yeah, that's also very true, because if you've ever noticed, like, Q104... Solid Rock. Zeppelin. Billy.
Cut and run. Not going to do that.
Lifelong friend.
Lifelong friend. Politically, the president may also be not as right-wing Christian as we've come to believe. David Kuo helped set up the president's Office of Faith-Based Initiatives. That office was supposed to funnel government money to church groups that were saving the government money by taking care of community needs, like feeding hungry people.
Friend we have in Jesus.
But as the number two man in that office in the early days, Kuo says the project never got the presidential support it needed to succeed. Instead, he says the office was there to score political points with the evangelical Christians who helped elect and re-elect George W. Bush. In his book, Kuo says, quote, Christian leaders received hugs and then were dismissed behind their backs, described as ridiculous, out of control, and goofy. The president's most trusted advisor, Karl Rove, called them nuts, according to the book. Kuo says the office was used to mobilize religious voters in 20 congressional races in the last midterm election.
Kuo.
But this will lighten the mood. Arnold Schwarzenegger has now soundly and solidly distanced himself from the president.
Hi, this is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He told Jay Leno last night, to link me to George Bush is like linking me to an Oscar. That's ridiculous. Arnold's opponent now wants equal time on
it. I wonder who wrote that for him.
Hey, that's great that Arnold...
If you link me to the president, it's like linking me to the Oscar.
Yeah, that's like self-defecating. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Arnold. Thanks. Good luck to you in your campaign.
Did you read in the paper today the picture of whoever the clotted that's running against Arnold?
That Greek guy, I forgot what his name
wants
is.
Wants equal time.
Right. Bill and 3Ds or
and
something.
And they're giving
like
NBC...
God, I wish I knew the guy's name.
They're giving him the benefit of the doubt, saying that it's a news show.
But it's not... Yeah, the Leno show's not a news show and therefore doesn't have to give equal time. But we'll see. We'll see if they put the guy on.
It was sickening. Leno said, good luck, my friend.
Yeah, he said, good luck, my friend.
Well, and they did talk politics, like, during the interview, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, they did. I wish I could find that guy's name. Gosh, elections can be fun. Take the one in Garden Haven, Michigan, where they're reprinting 170,000 ballots at a cost of $40,000. Seems there was a typo in the first batch of election ballots for next month. A question, an amendment to the state constitution meant to use the word public in spite of checks...
Pubic?
In spite of checks by six proofreaders, somebody left out the L.
Yes, that's right.
Now,
that's right.
Election officials have pubically embarrassed themselves.
Now I'm laughing, Jack.
That bad you want me to get, Jack. If I get it worse, the Johnson office won't pass it.
That's right, Ian.
And the votes seem to be in on the evening newscast. The only way it can get any worse for Katie Couric is if people start hurling their TVs out their windows. Couric's ratings on the CBS Evening News have gone down every week since she signed on right after Labor Day. They are now half what they were for her debut. And although deeply mired in third place, CBS says it's looking at the long term and steady growth.
You know, I would have to say that's true, that you can't expect... First of all, who watches the news anyway? I mean, it's a...
Evening News is kind of a dinosaur at this point.
It's a dying breed.
Right.
Hey, give her a chance. You know, I mean...
Wow, what are you saying?
She's a girl.
That's manufactured kindness, Don.
That was manufactured kindness, wasn't it? That was really... That was very big of you.
Perhaps CBS can cut its losses with...
You always wanted to get her, didn't you?
Yeah, I wanted to get her.
Wanted to get her.
Take those little pixie glasses off.
Yeah. From that day she sat on your console.
Yeah, I got a teleprompter for you. See if you can read what I'm going to write on the wall.
Well...
Mike, we got the guy's name. Hello, what's his name? Hello there.
His name is Phil Angelides.
Phil Angelides.
That's him. Thank you, Brendan.
Just wanted to be fair.
That's the guy that's running against Arnold.
That's right.
The guy that wants to be on Leno.
Well, maybe CBS can cut its losses with the $500,000 it got at auction for the Starship Enterprise model. That's the one used in the opening title of the original Star Trek series.
Cooper!
The 78-inch long model was sold last Saturday by Christie's to an unnamed bidder.
Hi there. Hi there.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mike. I want to find a pastry shop. And what I want to buy is one of those things that like Batman put the bat phone in.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, what's that?
Like a cake dome.
A cake dome. You never see it anymore. You got to go to an old-fashioned diner.
Cake dome.
Yeah. Have you never been in a diner and they said, like, you want a piece of cake?
Oh, yeah, and you lift up the thing?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm going to put my Enterprise
in. A giant one?
In a giant cake
78
dome.
78 inches?
Yeah.
A giant cake dome.
If I can afford to spend, how much did I spend on the Enterprise?
$500,000.
I can afford to buy the world's biggest cake dome.
6.5 feet. You might have to lift it up with a crane.
I have to throw a counterpane over that.
Cake dome.
Now, even Mickey Mouse has a sex tape. That's our story when we return.
All right, bro.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
1, 2, 3.
They'll make you shart. The Don and Mike Show.
That's the goal. Skidmark City.
I'm flipping my arms around.
I like it. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Don and Mike. Now, yes, even Mickey Mouse has a sex tape. Gay sex, naturally.
Mm-hmm. Worse.
Disney's not happy.
He's a big faggot.
Disney's not happy the video turned up on YouTube.
Oh.
And Disney's not happy that the people it hires in France to dress up as Mickey and Goofy and all the rest have pretend orgies in costume and capture it all on video.
Hello, I am Mickey Mouse. I love to suck these.
Bend over, Pluto.
Hello, this is Mickey Mouse. Goofy gave me AIDS. Boring.
Oh, it wasn't Goofy. Disney's investigating and has apologized, saying this did not happen in a public area of Disneyland Paris.
Oh,
now, as I understand it, the video is gone from YouTube now and I guess into the Disney vault. But there are a few screen captures that will horrify children for years to come.
including the one of Mickey and the gay chipmunks.
Why do you think they called it Gay Pelly?
But the one of Goofy and Minnie, intriguing.
Mm.
I actually saw it this morning.
Yeah.
And the thing that's the funniest is that there is some cupping and there is some grinding. But the funniest thing is that because they're in these Disney costumes, their faces stay locked in those big smiles. And to see, you know, Goofy coming up behind Minnie. With
Bonjour.
Smile, it's good fun.
Intriguing.
Better than The Little Mermaid.
Hello.
In Provincetown, Massachusetts, where gay people abound, some ugly things have been said recently by gay people. A few bad straight people started, apparently. A couple of haters beat up a couple of Jamaican guys and yelled something about gay marriage. Since then...
Well, Rob,
my name is Hugh.
I'm Hugh, Hugh Hamilton.
Since that time, there have also been reports of heterophobia and breeder bashing. Among gays, breeder is a derogatory term for straight people.
Look at those breeders over there. See? I can't believe those breeders are just eating their ice cream cones.
Look at those breeders. Look at them with all of their Billy Ray Cyrus haircuts. Let's go beat them up.
The police chief says that around the 4th of July, he got 4 complaints from tourists about being called breeders by the local gays.
Breeders! You're breeders!
There you go, breeders. Have fun looking at your little gift shop, you know, buying nice things for each other.
Hey, breeder.
Quoting...
Where are you going to? Old Navy. Are you going to buy some khakis, you breeder?
Get you back into your Prius, breeder.
What are you thinking about tonight? Going home and having intercourse with your wife, breeder?
Breeders. Quoting a lesbian city councilwoman, I don't know anyone who hates heterosexuals. We wouldn't be here without them.
Rob does.
I hate everybody.
You hate everybody equally. That's a good thing. Leave a penny, take a penny. Or in the case of Uncle Sam...
Yelling!
Hi!
Hi! Yelling line one.
Or, of course, money penny. In the case of Uncle Sam, use 2 pennies to make 1. It now costs the government more than a cent to manufacture and distribute a shiny new penny.
That's bad business!
Do you have any idea what it costs to ship rolls of pennies across the country?
Then what's the point?
Neither do we, but it can't be cheap.
We asked expert Alan Leibwand.
I'll get it to you for half!
I don't think we should continue with the project.
The U.S. Mint says if it gets any more expensive to crank out pennies, it'll ask Congress to let them make pennies out of some other material besides copper or... just do away with the penny altogether.
I can't tell you, when Alan was the general manager at WJFK, we got months of fun out of super gluing a penny to the floor.
Every day. It was in the same spot. Still tried to pick it up.
I brought a screwdriver!
I broke a nail.
And in sports, a couple of coaches at a gym in Seminole County, Florida, are in trouble for putting the screws to their athletes. One of the coaches admits he, for years, stabbed gymnasts with drywall screws. Those are very, very sharp screws, long ones that hurt as much coming out as they do going in.
Why? Where?
The coach says that's how he was taught to train the boys. Most of the time, underperformers would get one right in the ass cheek. That's where the drywall screw would go. Athletes and parents contacted the police, and they took the investigation from there.
Wow.
I did it if we didn't make budget.
Picking up the penny.
There's a penny on your ass.
Pry it off with a drywall screw.
Yeah, Alan.
What a coincidence. The moral, that's not where you're supposed to put the stick. The story, when we continue.
Whoa. You're a dirty birdie today, Robert.
Whoa.
You really are. You know, I look at you and I don't even think I know you, Sam Milkman. We'll be back with more of Sam's news.
Sam Milkman.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Thanks for listening, fat ass. The Don and Mike Show.
Give me one last quick observation from our fan site.
Are they still at it?
Now there's at least 5 threads. Like, Don is a bully. Don is an ass. I'll kick Don's ass. He can't take any criticism. But the thing that made me laugh is...
anything about Dear Leader on there?
Yeah, there's some of that.
Okay.
But someone writes, gosh, I think they were talking tongue-in-cheek today when they were saying all that stuff about wanting to be treated like King Kim Jong-il. I picture them rolling their eyes. At least I hope so. Jesus Christ.
Come on.
No, we're totally serious.
Buy the clue, please.
I'm 100% serious.
You must know we are serious about all of that. Finally, Perhaps not since lawn darts has there been a toy as dangerous as diving sticks.
Darts?
They're pool toys that sink to the bottom and float upright. Children are then supposed to dive in and retrieve them. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, no.
The Mrs. William Shatner toys.
Well, as with lawn darts, people don't always read and follow the directions, like trying to use them in a wading pool, for instance.
Oh, God.
9,000 of the sticks were recalled in 1999 after at least a half dozen injuries, and the very next year in St. Petersburg, a boy landed on one as he came off a pool slide.
Holy mashed potatoes.
No! It only penetrated about an inch and a half, but there had to be surgery and a colostomy.
Oh,
holy nightmare.
His parents are now suing Walmart and the company that distributes the toy. Wrecked him. It nearly killed him.
Holy Las Vegas.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, we're out of time.
No! All right, that's it. We gotta go. We'll go home tonight and contemplate what we say that's funny and what we say that's not funny.
Absolutely.
We're serious!
Yes, of course.
I'm damn serious!
It's going to be like Jay and Silent Bob. I'm going to come to your houses tonight.
Knock on your door, beat the crap out of you.
Yeah, baby.
Ah!
I'm so crazy out of control. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, dear leader.
Okay, Robert.
Good day, dear leader.
And Kong Klaus.
Carrie, I love you. Let's do it another year.
Yeah, happy 10th, Rob.
You're romantic, all right.
Yeah.
We are leaving now.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.